But Branham knew he was out of the will of God, and finally he told them, he said, look, we're all going to pay for it. We're going to be out of God's will if we do what you ministers want us to do. And as a result, you know the story, that the meetings that they had did not turn out the way it should be. And then after this year, Brother Branham was not able to come to minister in this country. He wanted to come. He felt like one of his greatest meetings was in South Africa, but after this incident, he was not able to come back and minister. And I thought, you know, sometimes it's so important, well, not sometimes, but most of the time, it's very important to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Whatever God tells you to do, you do what God said to do, irregardless to who says what. And not only that, but I was looking in the scripture where there was a young prophet came and he screamed out against the altar in the Old Testament. And when he did, the Lord told him, do not eat or drink. And he obeyed the Lord. He came and screamed out against the altar. He was on his way out, and there was an old prophet in that country. And he went and he met this young prophet and said, are you a man of God? He said, yeah. He said, you're the prophet that spoke against these things? And he said, yeah, I am. He said, well, you know, the Lord, I'm a prophet also. The Lord spoke to me and said, tell it to come and have a meal with me. And that young prophet, you know, he protested, but then he finally went and had a meal. And when he got to, old prophet cried. He said, you know, you have disobeyed God. God said, do not eat or drink here. And you did eat and drink. And he said, there's a lion waiting for you out there. So it is very, very important for us to obey what God has told us. And especially, you know, when you know the voice of God, obey His word. And I thought, you know, God has allowed a prophet to come with a first pull and second pull in this country. But personally, he was not able to come and minister under the anointing of the third pull, which is the opening of the word. But we have the tapes, we have the books that the prophet came and he ministered to the people, even though he stood in one place in Indiana. Yet the message that he brought has gone around the world. And we are the evidence, we are the fruits of that message that the prophet brought to us. But here, that message that he brought to us, we believe that looking at it a little closer, just at the surface, the message is tremendous, it's great, it's very complex. Even though he preached God in simplicity, yet when we begin to look at the message, there are depth of the message that we begin to understand now. And as God continued to open our understanding, we begin to see the things that the prophet said now is facing all of us, that we have choice to make. And I would say, by God's grace, I've been following the message since 1967, which is about 47 years, going on to 48. And by God's grace, I've been privileged to travel to many countries, to many places around the world, be with many brethren. And what I felt like in my heart was a message. I wanted to propagate it. I wanted to take it to the furthest corner of the earth. And God has allowed me to go to the highest mountain and allow me to go to the depth of the ocean. I've been privileged to go in a submarine right to the bottom of the ocean, see some things that were so wondrous. I've been privileged to go to Mount Everest. I've been able to go to Nepal, China, and India, the bordering areas, been with brethren there. I took upon myself to take the message where I felt that message was not taken. I want to go to the highways and the hedges and the byways, because most of the time, ministers don't have the time to go into some of the remote areas. Not that they don't want to, but sometimes they just don't have the time to do it. But seeing that I had the time and having a knowledge of what the prophet said, I want to share it with those to the utmost part of the world. And it's been my privilege to go to some of the jungles of South America. And some of the places that very few would go, had tremendous experience being with the natives in all kind of conditions, and it's just a pleasure to me to be able to take this message that God has sent. And though the prophet himself was not able to go to these places, he said, see that the tapes get there, the books. And some of the countries I've been to, they did not have the message in their local language. And it was my burden to inform the voice of God of some of the areas that the message, they wanted the message printed in the local languages. And voice of God, they were so flooded with so much requests from different parts of the world at the time, say in the 90s, and late 80s and 90s, they could not keep up with the demand for all the translation. So in some of the countries, I took it upon myself and to translate the books in the local language, different dialects, translate the message into from audio cassette to CDs, and some from the reel-to-reel cassette, reel-to-reel tape to cassette, and we had a V8 also, you know, and I said V8, but 8-track rather, and we were able to get a message that way, and the voice of God, Brother Joseph didn't know what I was doing, and of course I didn't wait for them, since they did not have, you know, at that time the means to translate in the different languages. And I felt real honored and real blessed to be able to do that, because I realized what the prophet said, the value of one soul is more than 10,000 worlds. And I thought, if I can do this within my capacity to get the word out, that is what I wanted to do. The Lord has allowed me to do that. And now, after the 40 years being in a message, I mean, more than that, but 40 years ago, I had a little experience that I felt like, you know, is life-changing to me. It was in 1970. I went to Arizona, and coming from the little island of Trinidad, in the year 1969, I came to the United States, and I decided to make that my home. In 1970, I was in North Carolina, which is on the eastern seaboard, and I wanted to go to Arizona. I did not have the funds to do it, so I decided to hitchhike. And I went from North Carolina, about almost 2,500 miles, hitchhiking to Arizona. And I didn't realize the danger that a hitchhiker, you know, it wasn't safe to go to these places. But, you know, when you have a burning desire, I heard so much about what the prophet, the experiences that the Lord gave him, and, oh, I was so excited, and I feel so honored that here am I, a little nobody, and coming from a very poor background, not having the finances, man, I felt it was just such an honor. My first trip, someone paid for me to come to the United States, and from then on, it seemed like wherever I go, someone is paying for it. And I said, you know, it's good to serve a God that knows how to provide. And even though you may not have the resources, if God calls you, He's going to make a way for you. And that was just so interesting that when I went to Arizona, I stayed with a family, the associate pastor and his wife. Their son had just went to Vietnam. And it seemed like God sent me at the right time. I was there in the month of February. And it just filled in so much, you know, take away their mind, at least from their son while I was there. And the pastor's wife decided to take me to the apartment where Brother Branham lived. And I remember sitting on that, went in that small room where there was just two beds. Brother Branham slept on the left and his wife on the right, and they had a little pathway between them. And I sat and at the end of the bed, and I opened my Bible, and it came to this portion of Scripture in St. Luke chapter 10, verse 21, 22, 23 caught my eyes. And the Scripture read like this, said, you know, At that time, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father. He told the disciples, rather, don't rejoice that your names are written in heaven. A statement like this. And he said, Jesus turned to the disciples and said, no man knows the Father but the Son, and to whom he would reveal him. And no one knows the Father but the Son, and who would reveal him. And then he turned privately to the disciples and said, blessed are your eyes that see the things you see. For I sent you many wise men have desired to see the things you have seen, have not seen it. And I felt like my God was speaking directly to me. Here many desire to see these things and they were not privileged. And here am I, be able to look into it. And that stayed with me for a very long time until about 4 years ago. And things began to open up to me. But Tony and myself, we began to travel about the year 2004. I had a brother from Cape Town by the name of Brother Harold Beckett. He had come to the United States, and I heard him preach in Ohio, and then he moved down to North Carolina. My wife and my daughter and I, we went to hear him, and we were eating at a lunch at we were having lunch together. And he looked over at me and said, Brother Searle, I'd like to spend a week with you. He had his wife, Sister Ernestine. And I thought, it's such an honor to have a great person like this to come and spend a little time with me. And he did. And we had a wonderful time. Then he invited me to come to South Africa. And we traveled in different countries together. And I had scheduled some meetings for him in the Philippines. And as a result, he could not make it, so I asked Brother Tony, will he go with me? And Brother Tony, we had a sharp disagreement on doctrinally and a couple of things. I thought he was way out on left field at that time, and I never looked at the things that he was saying. But seeing that I was between a rock and a hard place, I needed somebody to go with me. So we went to this meeting, and he spoke to close to over 200 ministers from different parts of the Philippines and the surrounding areas. And I was very surprised how he handled the Word of God. And from then on, we began to travel until about 4 years ago. I was looking at this scripture here, pondering over it. And then he made a statement, said, you remember the law, the way the Word of God said in the book of John 13 and 20? It says, whosoever receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And when he made that statement, and I was telling him this experience, he said, you see, scripture has a compound meaning. No man knows the Father but the Son, and to whom he would reveal him. He said, it takes a prophet for God to reveal his word through. And said, when we look at that scripture there, we believe that he's speaking about the Son in our day, because God used two bodies. In Alpha Ministry, he used the body of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for redemption. And then now, in this end time, that Son cannot come down here while we are on the earth, but he used a man in the evening time, a clean man, and told him, do not drink, do not smoke, do not defile your body anywhere. I have a work for you to do. And we believe that, he pointed out, said, you see, we believe that that's the messenger of the hour. The only way that God will be made known to us in this generation is through the prophet messenger. And I thought that was very, very interesting. And brothers, it just inspired me so much as I heard that. And then I began to look at the things that he was saying. And one of the things that he brought out so clearly when he began to speak on the Godhead. And in my 40-something years in the ministry, I've been privileged to meet many great names, you can call them. Those men that was associated with the prophet, from Brother Charlie Cox, to Brother Willard Collins, to Brother Junior Jackson, to Ned Iverson, to Perry Green, to you name it, Joe Coleman, Orlando Hunt, all these great men. And I'd never heard anyone. I met Dr. Lee Vail in 1974. I heard him speak just for about 10 minutes. But I'd never listened to any of his teaching. I just heard reports that this man was teaching two gods and two lords, and I thought, that's pretty strange. But then, when Brother Tony began to speak on the Godhead, I'd never heard anyone spoke on the Godhead, just took it as a topic to go into details. And when he began to bring in and show that God was, I always believed God was one after I left the Hindu religion. But I could not explain that, you know, how Jesus and the Father was one. I tried my best to reason it out, but I was not able to do it until I heard he began to take the quotes of the prophet and put them together and bring these things out. And when I began to look at it, it just revolutionized my thinking to see that this great God that we are serving, that, you know, in the beginning, you know, here, in order to understand what happened in the beginning, we look at the ending here in the Omega ministry and see that God had to have a body to express himself through. That when Jesus Christ come and that law that is represented in John 5:19, he said, I cannot do nothing but what I see my Father do. And when I begin to look at that there, then the quote that Brother Bram said, Jesus never claimed to be a healer. He says, not me that doeth the work, it's my Father. And then my understanding began to be quickened and opened up that I wanted to look into the Word of God and find out for myself, because, you know, even though I'd heard the brother speak, but I didn't search it out for myself. But when I start searching, I begin to find the more I look at the quotes, the more my understanding began to open to see that I was not a Trinitarian. As the prophet said, you know, there's two doctrines that came out of the Nicaea Council. You had the Trinitarian and you had the Unitarian, the oneness, you know, the one God. And here you had three gods. And he said, but the truth is down the middle. He said, God is not one like your finger. And then here I begin to understand a little more of this here. And when I begin to look at the quotes and I begin to share this, automatically brethren say, well, you're believing two gods. I said, no, I do not believe in God. I believe God had a son. And, you know, this is where it really caused, I'd say, a stir amongst the brethren. But anyway, I want to say this here, that, you know, from then on, Lord allowed us to come and meet many of you brethren in South Africa and different places. And I'm pleased to, you know, be associated with Brother Tony and the things that have been spoken, and many of you probably heard and some have not heard. But I want to say it's really an honor and privilege to be here this evening. And I wouldn't take much of Brother Tony's time, but I'd let him come and bring forth whatever the Lord lays upon his heart. But I want to say thank you for giving me an opportunity to say these few words, and he will just expand a little bit on that. So God bless you, and we appreciate and love you.
God bless you this afternoon. I realize that you all have your services today, and you're quite busy, and so I maybe would like to just greet you. But Alistair, the different ones that I've known and met, I don't really know too many familiar faces. Seems like all the other ministers that I do know are not here. Anyway, we are here to strengthen one another. Every joint supply it. We are here because we have diverse ministry. Brother Cyril and I work as apostles. Apostles are mainly set forth as to set forth doctrinally to help pastors and local churches to be rooted and grounded. As pastors, you are, you have to bury the dead, you have to baptize, you have to counsel, you have to marry, you have to do these things. And doctrinally, what has been taught first generation wise is that the pastor is the one who steers the church doctrinally. But if we notice apostolically, in the beginning of the Pentecostal age, we find that it was the apostles that set forth doctrines, them that were faithfully taught, and then from them they were able to establish elders. As of now, without praying, I'm already in the line, so I'll continue and then we'll find a place to pray. But apostolically, am I okay? Okay, apostolically, what happened is that the apostles will travel to a city and they will go forth and they will have meetings, and from those meetings in a synagogue or wherever the doors were open, they will have a family or two that would give them ear to hear. After that family has heard, then of course, like everything else, they tell their family, their friends, their other believers along the way. And in that home end up being maybe two or three families. And then the apostle will, while visiting them, the apostle will say something like, you know, we need to appoint an elder. Because apostles don't come there to stay or take up residence. They come and they help. And then they set up an elder. The elder is based on the most matured man, someone they had confidence in, and he will appoint an elder in that home to watch over the flock. Then the apostle will send messengers to that home. Messengers, we like to say, firstborn sons who were birthed by the apostle. Doesn't necessarily have to be ministers, but men who knew the heart and mind of the apostle and his doctrine, his teaching. He will send them to that home, to that elder, carrying with him, like Timothy had, carrying the pattern of doctrines and manner and what Paul taught in different areas. And then from there, after appointing an elder, they would wait for God's gift to find its place. Then the apostle, once that gift turns up, like a potential pastor or minister, he will train that, tutor that. He would faithfully teach that one. And then eventually he'll present that pastor to that church. And then if it's a good match, then they'll marry each other by vote. And that's how churches were started. But if you look in the first generation of how churches were started in the message, it did not all start that way. Very few churches, you know, had a start apostolically. For instance, this is how it started in our generation, first generation. It started that somebody got a tape or somebody heard about Brother Branham, and they started either getting a book or they got a big reel tape. They listened to it. They run to their church, their pastor, they tell them, you know, baptism in the name of Jesus, serpent seed, whatever it is. Then the pastor kicks them out of the church. Then they call people from that church and said, hey, this is true. Come and hear this. Come and hear this. So they come and they hear it. Then at that home ends up being two or three people or four people, five people, maybe 10 people. Then they look around among themselves and they see somebody who is very smart, has a very intelligent job or something, or somebody who's not working. They look and then they say, oh, you be pastor. And then that man becomes pastor. And then whether he was a pastor or not, he ends up with the job. So first generation did not follow an apostolic order. And that is why you have a lot of men from the first generation who may be in the wrong place. They might have been evangelists. They might have been, you know, other things. But they certainly, it was one in a million of a shot that they did choose a pastor among them. And that is what a lot of times caused in areas lots of hurts. Because if you're not a pastor, no matter how much you love the message, believe the message, you're not going to be balanced, you see. And if you're not, you're not going to handle problems properly. You'll give wrong advice when living with an unbeliever, how to grow up your children. You'll legalistically cause them to hate the message. They're not converted. And so there's a lot of issues that happen. And then, of course, if you were a pastor, a man who's not a pastor, he'll make a lot of funny decisions and behaviors and stuff. And next thing you know, you leave. You say, okay, I'm leaving. I don't like that. So what do? You start in your house. A couple of people also unhappy with him. They start. And that's how message churches were birthed. Now, that definitely is not apostolic. And it's not the way that they started off in the early church. Now, if I might just maybe open a word of prayer, I just made a thesis statement. And so let us stand and just have a word of prayer. And of course, Almighty God, we stand before your great servants of God, all with diverse gifts. Some are pastors, evangelists, teachers, apostles. They all have their own unique way of looking at the word, and we don't want to disrespect any, Father. But Lord, seeing that it's given an opportunity for me in this apostolic call to present doctrinally what I believe is the most important revelation in the entire ages and Bible, the great capstone revelation, Father. You said, Lord, we can't even get our baptism right without it. We can't even get to square one without it. It's a mystery that has been hid before the foundation of the world of how this great kinsman redeemer, Almighty God, can become kinsman to us. So we pray your grace upon this subject and help us, Lord, We realize that we have not only diverse gifts, but men of different positions and maturity. So I pray that you help us now. Forgive us our sins, our iniquity. Help us as servants to be righteous judgment, not based on culture, not based on who we belong to, not based on affiliation of church or different men that we are loyal to, but help us to be loyal to the word. And in the words of your prophet, regardless of what, let us take sides with Jesus and help us to be faithful to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers, as ministers, you are called. You may be seated. You are called to be judges. You are the highest office in the land. There is no higher office, the prophet said, but to be a minister in the servants of God. It's higher than the President of the United States. You are the instrument for bringing forth a bride. And in so, the Bible warns us as priests that we should not be blinded. We should not use unbalanced scales. We should not be blinded with gifts or with position or like Balaam with money or with favor for any reason. And I believe if we are here for that one purpose today, we'll all leave here with something. With that being said, I also want to say that these great doctrinal truths are only for them that are born again. We assume that every minister is converted. We assume that every minister is born again. But of course, we know that that's not a reality. The truth of it, there are many in the ministry that are not quickened. And if you are not quickened, then you will not understand the deeper truths of God. That's the basic fundamental fact of the new birth. In fact, Brother Branham said in a message, God called man. He said one of the first qualifications of a minister is that he must be born again. So I'm saying that because when we leave here today, we are going to leave with opinions, different opinions. The Bible said we are all be taught of God. If we are all taught of God, we should come out with the same results. But we will never do that, especially not with Godhead. Because if you are not converted, you are going to make a deductible conclusion. And that never works when it comes to the revelation, because it is not a linear. It's not linear. It is not something that is logical or reasonable. It can only be understood by looking at the various laws of God. The laws of reflection, the laws of refraction, the laws of incarnation versus the law of reproduction, the versus laws of genetics, of species propagation. These diverse laws are taught to us, and these laws that we learn are only principles to be applied into higher revelations. And therefore, without these laws, we will never be able to understand the thinking of God. So I'd like to start, well, Louis, if you don't mind helping me to plug this in, and I'll use this. And I realize we have a limited amount of time. If you've got to go, I believe that, you know, I don't think we'll consider it rude. And of course, if you don't agree, I'm not upset that you don't agree. That is your rights to do that. But I think for the tape and the recording, we have some ministers also that are hooked up from different places that are listening on to the stream, I believe. And so I'd just like to continue. And of course, maybe we'll have some time to meet again. Okay? Whatever I say, I mean it honestly. Sometimes it might be very hard, very cutting. But I believe that our motives must be right. The greatest of all revelation is the revelation of the Godhead. Every age had a principal theme. Every age had a principal theme. The believers of that age, including the messenger, had to understand that theme thoroughly. That was the essential way of telling if they were in the faith or if they were reprobates. Because Christ in you cannot deny the word being unfolded in its day. And therefore, what what the conclusion of it is, the theme of Luther Age was justification by faith. Can you believe a believer being confused about that part? You would never. Or Wesley, sanctification. Or Pentecost, having any problems with gifts and the way that the gifts were operating, because there was no one to set it really in order until a prophet comes. But there was the gifts. And in this our age, the theme of the age is the unveiling of the mighty God. It is Jeremiah 24:7. And I will give you a heart to know me. That's the only age that he gives us a heart to know him, is in the age of the unveiling of God. Jeremiah 31:33 tells us that I will write my laws in your heart, and I'll cause you to walk. Well, for seven church ages, he caused them to walk in the light. He caused them to walk in faith by quickening the gene and by giving them the revealed word to walk in. But in the end time, he doesn't just give you the word to walk in. He gives you a heart to understand him, to know him. And this is the only age that has that promise that we know of. So I'd like to start off with Brother Branham ministry. All right? And everything I do, I'm going to read. I'm going to cut them short the best that I can. We have no markers, brother. Everything we're going to do is based upon the quotes and the scriptures, because that's the only absolute we have. Is that right? And the one thing I want to look at is Brother Branham's ministry. Brother Branham was the Elijah of today. He was the Elijah of today. And to play the role of Elijah, to bring out the qualities of Elijah, the conditions and characters must be reproduced. In other words, if there's an Elijah today, there must be an Ahab for him to talk about. There must be a Jezebel for him to talk about. There must be Jezebel's daughters. There must be a Jehoshaphat. In type, you would see Brother Branham shadowing Zedekiah in his ministry. But not only that, we must know that there must also be a Baal worship. In the days of Elijah, if there was Baal worship, in Brother Branham's day, there must be Baal worship. And if there were Baal worship, then there must be Baal priest. And if there are Baal priest, Baal worship, then that is what Elijah will be against. So if we can find out what Brother Branham was against, we'll know what Baal worship is today. Is that right? It's too big, isn't it? To believe the devil's lie is to serve Satan. To believe the lie. Even though you may want to call him Jehovah, but the elect will not be deceived. I'm going to skip these because I think that you are ministers. You all pretty much know that. most of these things here. And we'll come back to them. We know that there is one God. That capital L-O-R-D is Jehovah. Our Elohim is one Jehovah. The Bible testifies there is one God. Set 1 Timothy 1, 2 and 5. Also 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. For there is but one God and one Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the acknowledgement there is one God. Now, our Elijah is not a oneness or a Babylonian Baal worshiper. Abraham said in Abraham's covenant, no, sir. I know you know these quotes, but I just have to go through it to build up the context. No, sir, I'm not oneness, not at all. I'm not Trinity either. So if Elijah is against Trinity and oneness, Trinity and oneness is Baal worship. Trinity and oneness is Baal worship. Note, our Elijah of old, our Elijah is against the oneness Jesus, because the Baal of the old is another Jesus of the new, as Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 11, 1-4. So, we want to know what Baal worship is. Now, Brother Branham gave us two definitions of how to define God. The first definition is the Greek definition. The Greek definition, he says, you define God in the Greek as an object of worship. But he said the problem with that is that you can define anything as an object of worship. He said a chair, your job, your wife, your money. You can declare anything as an object of worship for the Greek. But the Hebrew is quite different. He said the Hebrew defines God as self-existent, as the self-existent one. So if Brother Branham is defining God in the Hebrew standpoint, that's part of your notes. If he's defining God in the Hebrew as the self-existent one, it means that there can only be one, because there's no one self-existent except Elohim. And I just read in your scripture that Elohim, it said there's Jehovah is one Elohim. So we know Jehovah Elohim is the one true self-existent one. So we want to look at the Hebrew definition of God, not the Greek. The Hebrew definition. He gives us both. I'll read them later on. Now, with that being said, we know that this Elohim Jehovah has no beginning. If he has a beginning, he will not be self-existent. So he has no beginning, and we know that that's Melchizedek. I'm just defining them quickly. All right, that's Hebrew 7. Okay, that's Melchizedek. He has no beginning. No beginning of days, no end of life, no mother, no father. All right, so we know that all of this remains one. Melchizedek is the Old Testament patriarch name. Jehovah and Elohim is the unfolding of God in redemption. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, compound redemptive names, right? So these all we know are the self-same being for sure. But what we also know, because we are not Trinitarian, I'm not going to spend time with Trinitarianism. I'm going to spend time with oneness. And oneness... Now oneness, now watch. The oneness is the confusion with the Son whose name is Jesus. Now, okay, and you're going to hear Brother Branham says that Jesus has a beginning. If this Jesus has a beginning, then this Jesus cannot be Elohim. He cannot be Jehovah. He cannot be Melchizedek. And in the Hebrew series, you will hear Brother Branham clearly makes those statements. All right? He clearly makes these statements. So this Jesus here, that is the Son of God, has a father. One, he has a father. Two, he has a beginning. Three, he inherits his name, as every son inherits his name. Right? His father, he has a beginning. He has a father, he has a beginning. He inherits his name. He is not, let's make it right here, he's not his own father. Four, he is not omniscient. Five, he is not Jehovah Rapha. He is not the healer. He's not omniscient, he is not omnipresent, and he is not omnipotent. He's not omnipotent. So these three things, one, two, three, of omni, he is not. Okay? So far. So we are defining. So now if you take this son, if you take this son and make him God, one like your finger is, you just took a creation and made it the creator. And you would have taken the truth, which is the message of the hour, and make it into a lie. And you will fulfill Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. This happened twice. This happened in the days of Cush, which was Nimrod's father, and brought in polytheism. And today, you will pervert it in the message of the hour, and you will become a oneness. And you would serve the creature, which is Lucifer, more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Now, so what is Baal worship? Brother Branham defined Baal worship as the worship of nature or creation. Whether it is through reproduction or harvesting or rain or weather, it does not matter. But it is the laws and creation and bodies that are used to control certain laws of God to bring rain or to bring a certain season for harvest, for the planting, or what is it? Prosperity. It's blessing. It is life. It is food. It is propagation of seed. So the prophet begins to show you, well, what is creation? What is nature? Nature is creation. And the greatest of all emblems of creation is the S-U-N. So Baal's symbol was the serpent on the earth, on the ground. It was the sun in the air. It was the golden calf in the animal kingdom. These are all Baal. And therefore, this sun was worshipped as Tammuz in the east. Get up and rise in the east. Okay? So you will know these things. So let me just show you one more here. In Pergamonian church years, not only was ancestor worship original in Babylon, but so also was the worship of nature. Thus, the chief god would be the sun god, whom they called Baal. It wasn't long until the serpent became the symbol of the sun, consequently worshipped. Thus, the desire of Satan's heart became full-fledged and was worshipped as God. Of course, Romans 1:25, I just read it for you. What I'm trying to tell you, if you are a oneness in a message, which 98% of the message world is oneness, they are idol worshippers and don't know it. Now, that song, you say, Brother Tony, that's really bad. But remember, we are being brutally honest here. Okay, we are being brutally honest because this is the first commandment we are dealing with. And there is no room. There is no room for being politics. There's no room for being nice. There's no room. Because if I am in that idolatry, I want somebody to help me. And if I have people's soul in my hands, brother, I can't wait to search it out to see if I'm wrong or if I'm right. But I'm certainly not going to sit and do nothing. Okay? So, we are looking here now at one more type. Just one more type. Because if I don't... The reason you are here is because you believe it's important too. If I don't make a case of how dangerous it is in our day, it might never move some people to look at it. I showed you the Elijah type. I want to show you the Moses type. So you have a Moses type too. We know there must be a Pharaoh. We know there must be a Balaam. Is that right? Now, there is an Exodus class, which is you and I. And we know in the Exodus class, the first generation hardly made it. Even the ones who are alive today hardly made it. And they did not make it for two reasons. Two reasons that God never did forgive them. So, can you put up for me? Yeah, scriptures. Can you put up scriptures for me? Let us go first to Malachi 4:4. Remember that we have our Elijah type, but I'm going to show you that Elijah type is connected to the Moses type in our day. You cannot separate them because scriptures don't separate them. Remember the law of Moses. Now, he's going to introduce Elijah here. Right? But remember, look what he says. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb. Look at this word. Horeb. Right? For all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Alright, he introduces it before the great, because that's one thing, and the dreadful, that's another thing. They are not the same. The great and the dreadful, two things happen. There are many things happen under the great. and the dreadful of the Lord. So it tells us to go back to Horeb. So go to Deuteronomy 4:4. This is the text for the Branham preacher you preach to play, take to preach. God's only provided a place of worship. And in this quote, Brother Branham says here, it's first verse, Deuteronomy 1. Brother Branham says, this is just before the millennium. He said they are just about to enter the millennium, a type of our day. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and judgment which I teach you, for do them, and that he may live and go and possess the land. The prophet said, that's the millennium, which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. He shall not add or take away, because he brought an absolute. So it didn't need interpretation, it just needed gifted men to look at it. Neither shall he diminish aught from it, that he may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command me. Now, from the minute he said that, after the word came, after they got it, the first thing it goes back is say, remember the law of Moses and Horeb. He said, your eyes have seen what the Lord... What did the Lord did at Baal Peor? For all the men had followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you. Okay? So the first thing that first generation did, they went back to a Baal Peor. And the Baal Peor was that we are all one. Even though the prophet says every revival produces twins. Even though he said, how can two walk together lest they agree? They still took people, as long as they say they were message believers, as long as they had a pillar of fire, and said, look, forget your differences. We are all one. And Brother Bam says, no. He said, by your teaching you will know them. Because your teaching tells the kind of seed. Your teaching tells the father that you have. That's what he says, right? By your teaching. So, this is one of the first reasons why the first generation ministers will not make it. The majority will not make it. They have no sense of how you define seed. Alright, now, like I said, I'm taking 10 minutes to make the case why it is dangerous. Why, if it's not... Then people say, oh, we love Jesus. The bumper stickers say Jesus is Lord. But the Bible said no one can call him Lord without the Holy Spirit. And the prophet interpreting that in two ways. One, he said by revelation. And his second, he says, you see, it has to have a ministry to reveal it. It has to have a ministry to reveal it. Okay? So, this is seed. Now, this is the first reason that they don't make it. Because they do not see that there is a differences in message churches. And that these differences are based on doctrine. Second, they did not make it. They did not make it because they, as soon as they came out of Egypt, they went back to Baal worship. The golden calf. Is that right? And what is golden calf? Oneness. So the majority of first generation did not make it. Let's go to the book of Jude chapter 1 and the 4th verse. For there are certain men crept in unawares. They crept in the message of the hour. Who were before ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of God. The prophet said that's the gospel which is the message of the hour. Into lasciviousness. Now watch what their problem is. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny Father and Son. They're denying Father and Son. They're saying that these two are one and that this is the one that led us out of Egypt. That is exactly what, amen, the children of Israel said. They said, behold your gods, right, that delivered you out of Egypt. When this son did not deliver you out, it was Jehovah God that delivered him in a pillar of fire. Yes. I will therefore put you in remembrance that though he knew this, how that the Lord, which is Jehovah God, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, in other words, he delivered them out of denomination in the Exodus. He called them out of denomination in a message, under pillar fire, under token, under prophet, and afterwards destroyed them that believe not. Why did they not believe not? Because they went back to Baal worship, oneness. And you can't correct them. I guarantee you, brother, you cannot correct them. So make up your mind, if God opens your eyes today, if your daddy is first generation, your uncle, your brother, your sister, if God opens your eyes, they will never receive it. They'll never receive it. The prophet went on to say, they left the word of God entirely. Let me do one more. Let's do one more. Let us do one more here. Let us do 2 Peter 2 and 1. Remember, you've got to change the message to make it oneness. So you've got to change it, you see. But there were false prophets also among the people, talking about in the days of the Exodus. Even as there shall be false teachers. This is Matthew 24:24. Because he said, what is it? He said, you'll know them by their teaching. What is their teaching about? Who among you, that is elect, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that brought them, and brought up that brought them. Who is the Lord that brought them? Not the Son. That's Jehovah God. And not few, many shall follow. Many shall follow. Let us go and see how dangerous this is. You say, Brother Tony, did he destroy them here? Let's see New Testament. To deny the Lord God and the only Lord Jesus Christ is very dangerous. Let's go to 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar? Now remember, the first set of liars in the church were apostles. And apostles are people who come with doctrine to set in order. So how were the churches in the first generation set in order? By who? Liars. Who is a liar but he that denied that Jesus is the Christ? To be the Christ, you need two things. You need the pillar of fire that came down, and you need the Son of God on the earth. You have to have Father and Son to be the Christ. He is Antichrist, denied the Father and the Son. If you make the Father and Son one like your finger, the same Jesus, only one, then you are Antichrist, but don't know it. This scripture did not come into effect until 1963. Because until that time, God was still smiling on the oneness and the Trinity. This is a dispensational scripture because no one, even Luther, was a Trinitarian. And even in the message of the hour, the first church that Brother Branham went to was a oneness Pentecostal church. So this is a dispensational scripture. Whosoever denied the Son, save had not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son, had the Father also. Because you are saying to yourself, that only if you receive my Son, would you have my life, my favor, my grace. She caused the people to worship Astarte and Baal. She formulated the teaching and made the priest teach it, and they turned made. So we know that the priesthood teach. There is a priesthood that taught Baal. Now we come to the quotes. Now somebody said Brother Branham is a oneness. They accused him, Brother Branham, of being a oneness, because Brother Branham said many times Jesus is God. No, sir, I am not a oneness. I do not believe that Jesus is his own father. So the Son of God cannot be his own father. It's impossible. And the natural types of spiritual. If you can find in the natural a son who is his own father, I will believe it. Because the natural types are spiritual.
No.
It's impossible, isn't it? Well, then if God wants a family, he has to use his own laws of genetics. I believe Jesus had a father, and that was God. So let's now. Listen, some of you are here because I know, and from some of that you already know this. All right? You already know this. And you're only respecting me by letting me. But you know how little respect we have. Isn't that right? We know that. All right? And we look at them with such ignorance, and they look at us to pity us. You understand? We look and say, oh my goodness, these people don't even know the word. And they look at us and say, oh my goodness, these people. And look how much more of us believe in the oneness. And look at this, and yet, but yet, it's one in a million. It's the proof of the pudding. You see, we are the oddballs. Now, I want to say all of that because, look at this. The ones who accuse us for preaching two gods, because they do not want you to say Jesus is not God. I'm going to prove to you. There is only one true God. You believe that? All right. Now, there they have this son Jesus. They say Jesus is God. Brother Branham said he's not his own father. He has a God. So when you say this Jesus is God, and this is always God, because you can't change that, who's got two gods? No, you see, the devil always foreruns and accuses you for what he's guilty of. Where's two gods? Where's the two God worshiper? The ones who believe, oh, let us worship Jesus. They don't even know which one they're worshiping. They have no idea, no clue. Because Brother Branham permitted, God permitted for a long time Trinity and Oneness. He allowed them to write songs about the Lamb. He allowed them to write songs about the blood of the Lamb and all of these things. And then turn around in the end time and said the real kinsman redeemer is God. Because the Son was only acting out what the Father wanted him to do. Who is the real Lamb? Not the Son. Always the real Lamb is God. You've got to have the real before he could manifest. God, who's the real eagle? God. He is the first of everything. Because the Bible said, Brother Bam says, God is seen in creation. So who was the first? Who had the nature of it all? God. So who has two God teaching? The oneness have a two God teaching. But the devil has so blinded them, they don't know. Follow. Let's see if this be true. Let's see if we are fabricating this or if it is true. Paul said, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that he may present to you a chaste virgin. But I fear lest by any means the serpent beguile Eve, so your mind should be corrupted from the gospel. From the serpent. For if he that cometh preacheth, so it is the ministry that's doing it. So there is the priest of Baal. If you are a oneness ministry, you are a priest of Baal. And you can repent. Or you can get upset about the truth. And then, I have a lot of enemies, you know, Brother Alistair. But the only comfort I have is this. Have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Isn't that what Jesus said too? Jesus said, you know, why do you seek to kill me, a man who tell you the truth? Telling the truth is a dangerous business. Telling the truth is a dangerous... Telling the truth don't make you friends, even when you tell it to preachers. They preach another Jesus. So I ask you the question, does the Trinity have another Jesus? Yes. But how about the oneness? And if your Jesus is the wrong Jesus, that makes the gospel another gospel. And that means you do not have a true birth. In other words, you cannot be a Baal worshipper and be born again, even as a minister. You cannot be a breaker of the first commandment. You say, Brother Tony, how can you say that? I am basing it on 1 John 3:9. A son of God cannot practice sin because his seed remaineth in him. And that sin there is, you must not misplace, dislocate, and misinterpret. That is what sin is. You must not misplace, dislocate, and misinterpret the message of the hour, otherwise it is sin. But you are sealed from sin. You are sealed from sin. You are not sealed from S-I-N-S. You're going to have that all the days of your life. But you are sealed from S-I-N because of John 5:24. He that heareth my word, the prophet says, he that understand it. So the gene gives you the ability to understand. So you cannot miss the mark. Let me put it another way, like I did it this morning. I said it this morning. We have to be aware, as ministers, of the tricks that is in the ministry. Because we are the highest office in the land. And if you're the highest office, spiritual wickedness hides in high places. So the real spiritual wickedness is not in the congregation, in the message. Real spiritual wickedness is in the ministry. Because spiritual wickedness in high places in the message world can only be among the elders. The older men who require reverence and obedience, even though they are wrong. So these are the four tricks. The first trick is to preach in such a way to emphasize that you're a believer because you believe the prophet and the message. To believe the prophet and the message is not the evidence that you're birthed. Because the devil believes and is not converted. The second trick is the Methodist spirit in the message ministry. They preach in such a way that if you really have the Holy Ghost, you're going to live right. Because the Holy Ghost is holy and it will live right. The problem with that is the foolish virgin live right and ain't got no gene. You cannot live cleaner than a foolish virgin. They're both virgins. And they've got no gene. So the new birth does not give you the ability to believe. The new birth does not give you the ability to live right, because foolish virgin live right and she ain't got it. Then there's the next class. And the next class says, well, the greatest of all is love. You see all this mystery and all this intellectual thing, and we don't need that. We just need to love one another. You can't even love your brother. Amen. How do you know these truths? That's the trick. You see, that's the trick in the spiritual wickedness in high places. The only problem with that is that they love everybody. They love the devil. They love Judas. They love who God cannot love. Because they said, Jacob, I love Esau, I hate. He said, no, I even love Esau. So Brother Bram said, who had more love than Christian Science? So that's the lovey-dovey. But real love. You want to know what real love is? Doing the will of God, right? That's what Bab said. But what if we put it in the scriptures? 2 John 1:6. This is love. You want to know what God's love is? You want to know what love is? This is love. And this is love. You see, anytime you see is You put an equal sign. In mathematics, is the equivalent to equal sign. Love is equal to. We walk after his revealed word. And how can you walk or live if you don't understand it? Without revelation, it is impossible to please God. Is that right? That is love. It's not saving the cat and the dog from the pong. It's not feeding the hungry. We have human spirit, human beings that do that, and they will get their credit for it. Doctors who are merciful, gracious, different men in different discipline that God have in place to do many things. But this is the elect love. So if they want to love, make sure they love this. That they love everybody, but when they hear the truth of the word of Godhead, they walk in that too. Otherwise, your love is not God's love. That's the wrong kind of love. That's the feely-touchy love. You see? Oh, the last one. Sorry. The last trick of the devil, spiritual wickedness in high places, is to get the people to believe. If you believe, these signs shall follow them that believe. And if that church doesn't have prayer line, altar call, prayer cloth, which Brother Branham says that altar calls is not of God. It's a Methodist tradition. He said prayer cloth, God never did tell them to bring prayer cloth. They brought it on their own. He said God just honored it. Laying hands, he says, is a Jewish tradition. Waiting to the end of the service is a tradition because you did not get faith by the hearing of the word. So you want something added. You want the man to touch you with his sweat. He said, but while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell. He said, I sent my word to heal them. The same people in the service will be saying, seven thunder. Amen. Give rapture and faith. Amen. You are manifested sons of God. You are adopted son. The dynamics is upon you now. Amen. Turn pole. And at the end of the service, say, how many would like me to pray for them? Please come. How many would like to lay hands on them? Mixed gospel. And they don't even know it. Spiritual wickedness in high places. To deceive the people. Write in the message of the hour. It's before your eyes. Friends you know is doing it. Ministers you know is doing it. And they're doing it genuinely. And then you must sympathize. I say no. You cannot sympathize. You must not sympathize. When it comes to another gospel and another Jesus, you cannot sympathize. You say, Brother Tony, you're pretty cold-hearted. Deuteronomy chapter 13. First commandment is important. It is important. Okay, I passed my 10 minutes to make the reason why it's so important to get this. So, I'm going to try to hurry to get you over here. I don't want to be the man who's preaching the preachers. That's, every time I stand up here, I give myself more room for you to find fault. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so. If they arise among your prophet, or a dreamer of dream, and give it thee a sign and wonder, and the sign and wonder come to pass. So this is telling me genuine gifts. And when Brother Bam said false anointed one, he said genuine gift, but false in their teaching. Isn't that right? So this is a type of false anointed one. Genuine gift, it comes to pass. You know whose prophecy came to pass? Balaam. But his teaching, Brother A.D. You see? Therefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Well, anytime you are a oneness, you have two gods. You just don't know it. Plus a Trinitarian. Which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. I always tell my people, that's an invitation to go to a meeting and a message church. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer, for the Lord thy God proveth you to see whether or not use a pearl there for false anointed ones, because false anointed ones will follow and make conclusion, hey, that man, things are happening with him, he must be a believer. He said, no, try them by the word. That's the Ephesians. The Ephesians say, try them by the word. He said, because the third pearl, he said they could impersonate anything. He said, but they cannot stay with all the word. You try them there. Your Lord, your God, prove it you. To know whether you love the Lord. Well, what is to love the Lord? To walk in his commandments. And God, with all your heart and with all your soul. This is first commandment. So God is going to try your first commandment. The second thing. You shall walk after the Lord your God, fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice, and shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be what? You think you can do that in the Old Testament? Today, you're all softy, and I don't want to hurt the man's feelings, and oh gosh, he's been in a message so long, and he's in a ministry. If time you're a minister, you have no room for that. If you start playing with that, then some soft woman is going to come and say, my husband beat me up, and you know, I've been having a terrible life, and this man here is showing me kindness. What are you going to do then? No emotions. They are our enemies when you're in a position of a minister. You have no room. Here's what he says. He has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. You know how many people are trying to turn people away that I have talked to about Godhead? Working against it. They don't even know a squat of it. And trying to make foolish reasoning. Not knowing that day I will be put to death and spiritually dead. It comes to a point where God is, they cross that line. And they die foolishly. Ignorantly. Because they speak evil against the truth. Which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now watch carefully. Who brought them out of the land of Egypt? Certainly not the Son. And who brought you out of denominational Egypt? Was it not the pillar of fire? That's not the Son. And redeemed you out of the house of bondage. And thus, and this God who did this turned around and destroyed them. Because they went and built a golden calf. Jude 1 and 4. Now, let's bring it a little bit closer. Some of you, your daddies are ministers. Your uncles, your brothers, they are ministers. There has no room for it. Because this is not a family thing. We all see the same thing. You have to make your, because the souls in your hand is going to be accountable to you. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, nor of thy fathers. Namely, the gods of the people which are about you. Nay unto thee, far or thee, from the one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thy eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Is that the same God? That's the same God. That's why, brother, if you're in the wrong business, if you're a minister, and you just in it for the joy of it and the popularity or the ride of it, you've got to run for your life. Because I'll hate to see what will happen to you in the end. Thou shalt stone him with stones, and that he die, because thou hast sought to turn thee away from the Lord thy God. How many people are trying to turn you away from this Godhead? And your people, and the ones that you talk to, they come like demons to snatch the little seed you sow in their heart. And which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And you can go all the way down. It'll take you even to the camp of Israel. All dealing with the first commandment. All dealing. Can you give me back the control, please? Our Elijah says, how many of you Trinitarian got that mixed up? How many of you oneness got that mixed up? Of him being one like your finger. You see, they both of them got it mixed up. So both is Babylon and both is Baal worship, because they worship the creation more than the creator. That's right. He is the one God like your finger one. How could he be his own father? See, he can't be his own father. And they still want to make Matthew 28 father. They want to make it a noun. That's not a noun. If he had another father outside of the Holy Ghost, then God is a man. The Holy Spirit was his father. God is his father. So he was illegitimate. So in this one statement, Brother Branham destroys oneness and Trinity. Let's see how he does it. He said, if they are one like a finger, he cannot be his own father. And this is the Son, Jesus. He cannot be his own father. Therefore, he cannot be one like a finger. Destroys it. Then he says, let's say Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They say these are persons. 1, 2, 3. But I say they are not persons. They are not nouns. They are dispensations. But he said, okay, they say that as three persons. Trinity say that's three persons. He said, now the Son says God was his Father. And then the Bible said the Holy Ghost was his father. He said a man cannot have two fathers. Therefore, Trinity is wrong. Totally. One statement, he destroyed Trinity and oneness on the same level. So you can't make it either way. You see, it is both wrong. He was God manifest in the flesh of his creative Son. And if the Son is creative, there is a Jesus who is the Son who is created. Has a beginning. Right? Well, you're ministers. I might as well just tell you. And then his Father is Jehovah, who was Melchizedek. This is my, sit on my right hand, see, my son. Jehovah, which is Elohim, the self-existent one. And his Old Testament name was Jehovah. But when he started a family, he took on a new name called Jesus. Thank you, brother. So this Jesus is Jehovah of the old. He has no beginning. This son inherits his name. The angel was sent to Mary to tell him, call his name Jesus. But this one revealed his name not to Mary. He revealed it to Paul. When he met him in a pillar of fire, that was not an angel talking. Amen. Nobody can tell what to name God. God has to name himself. So when he said, who art thou? Jehovah. And Jehovah said, I am Jesus. Then Paul knew that Jehovah the old now called himself Jesus. And Jesus said God was his father. Then Paul knew every son comes in his father's name. This Jesus is made Lord. And he's made Christ. This word Christ means he is the anointed one. Just like Moses was the Christ, the anointed one. Right? This Jesus, this God, this our Father, who is the pillar of fire, he is the anointer. Or the anointing. So he is also called Christ. So you have two Christ. You have Christ who is the anointer or the anointing. And you have Christ who is the anointed. The Son is made the anointed one, but he is not the anointing or the anointer. So the Son is not the Holy Spirit. Because he is not the Father. He is not God. He is not Jehovah. He is not Melchizedek. He is not Elohim. So you have this son who is made Lord and Christ. Are you with me? I'm not talking to you as a child. I'm not even trying to give you the scriptures. You should know them. Right? So I'm just going to skip the notes and I'm just going to go straight to it and you develop it. You take it. You judge it whether it's true. Remember, you are the only judges there are. You are the highest office in the land. Don't be blinded by anything. By gifts, by belonging to group, popularity, by wanting to please your daddy, or wanting to please some friend, or your old pastor, or anything like that. You must judge righteous judgment, because when the highest judges in the land are corrupt, the land is gone. And I bear witness today with you. We are here for one thing. And you see the few that is here? And I guarantee those who are not here hardly even know what's going on with this. Their pride. They're proud. One minister wrote Brother Louis and said, I have been listening to the unveiling of God since in the 80s and I don't need to hear a man. And that man has a friend in Singapore who's been with me a number of years now. He never knew these things. He was a oneness all his life. And he is going to make it. And that minister is going to take a lot of people into oneness hell because of pride. Because they don't believe that God have gifts to help one another. And they don't really need it. But I tell you, I need all the gifts. And I need to hear them. And anytime you don't have the right attitude towards a gift that God gives, you're saying, God, you're stupid and you're foolish because we could have done without it. And that is what ministers do. We don't need that. I don't need to hear anybody really. You know. I'm studying. I study. Whatever I get, I get in a tape. I get in a tape. You see? Watch carefully. Acts 2, 34 to 36. Can we read it? Is it 5:30 would be good, brother? Yes. Because if I hit 5:30, I'm sure that I can pick up the heart of this. This is just the case. Why is it important we should do it? Yes. Acts 2, huh? Acts 2:34. For David is not ascending into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on right hand. Well, we know the Bible, and you know all of the scriptures, starting with Hebrews chapter 8, starting with Hebrews chapter 1, that it is the Son that sits on the right hand of God. So we know my Lord is the Son of God. And we know right hand means power and authority. And that's what Matthew 28:18 said. All power and authority is given. Now that word authority is the word exousia. And exousia, just like the word parousia, has to do with being. Or it exists. I exist. And the only one who can say I exist is God. So he's the only one who can give authority. Nobody can give him authority. All authority comes from him. That's what Jesus told Pilate. He said, don't you know I have the authority to let you go? He said, you have no authority lest it be given to you of God. Right? So this means that my Lord is only made Lord because somebody made him Lord. This word exousia, broken down in its original language, comes from the word John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. It did not mean that God was something. It means that God existed in a different form. In the beginning was the Word. Doesn't mean a past tense. It means He was in a form. It is the form that was the Word, not the God. Get that? He was in eternity, wasn't He? Well, He came in another form. Well, it's trying. We are looking back to John 1:1. We are all the way up here, looking back to John 1:1. He was in that form called the Word, because we know Him now. John is writing. We know Him now that He has become flesh. But He was the one in the Word, in the form of the Word. So He existed in the form of the Word. He exists in His Son. And then He's existed in the pillar of fire now. Right? So this is the one. Oh, I like that. This is the one that is Hebrews 13:8, really. We'll get to that. Right. So now you have Matthew 28, all power and authority is here. So Matthew 28:18 is equal to Psalms 110. Right hand, all power in heaven and earth. Okay, now let's look at it. This is Jehovah, and the Son cannot be His own Father. He said, "Well, Tony, but you have two lords there." Listen, friends, I didn't write that Bible. I didn't even put it in there. But the oneness people are always upset when you use the scripture. But really, what they're not telling you, they are upset with God for writing it in. He should never have wrote it. They don't use it, and you better not use it too. And what they have done over the years, if you touch it, they're ready to label it because they want you to make gun shy. But I tell you what, I watched a lot of John Wayne before I was converted. And I know if I got lead, you better come really good to shake me. Isn't that the way it was? If you know where you're shooting, you know what you got. Why should we be ashamed of the gospel? Why should I be ashamed of any part of the Word of God? And why can't we use it when we say the entire book is open? So the question is to ask you, when last your pastor took Psalms 110? All right, let me give you one example, Brother Alistair. Let me give you a good example. Because I believe young men like you are the future. I really do. If you get the right mentors, faithfully taught, apostles. If you never get hooked up with an apostle and you believe a pastor, you can make it on your own, you'll die. You'll break God's order. Apostolic order is the only way to go. Joseph Coleman movement was an apostolic move. Whether you agree with his doctrine or not, his gift was so high that other ministers say, Lee Vale gift was so high, they call him a teacher because Brother Branham called him a teacher. But he was an apostolic teacher, not just any kind of a teacher. He could set root and ground ministers. And you have to know where you're standing. They are apostolic. They are apostolic gifts that are sent. Let's look at this. Now, Psalms 110 is equal to Matthew 28:18, which is equal to Acts. Oh my goodness, Acts 2. I'm going to put them here, Brother Louis, as I use them. Sorry. Acts 2:34 to 36. Watch carefully what I want to say. Sit on my right hand. Now, Peter comes back here now. Therefore, let all of Israel know that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified Lord. He is telling you Jesus is the Lord that's on the right hand. And He cannot be His own Father. So even though He said the Lord said unto my Lord, it's only one God who had a Son that He made Lord. So let's look at this one here. Why did He make Him Lord? A oneness will never ask that. A oneness will never, ever ask you that. If you've been in the message more than 25 years and somebody told you, why he made him Lord, I'm going to give you all the money I have in my pocket right now. Challenging you. Talk to me. Well, it so happened I don't have any. So you got to be. He is made Lord for five reasons. He's made Lord for five reasons. The first, he just died. Out of his side came blood and water. He is going to be husband to the church. 1 Peter chapter 3. Sarah called her husband Lord. He is the head of the church. And a woman's head is her Lord. I find you all are keeping quiet. Second reason he's made Lord. He's made Lord because he is the firstborn of all the brethren. You know right? Firstborn. Let's look at the firstborn. Deuteronomy 21:15. Let's put it up there. My, you know, it's an atmosphere of belief in here. Yeah, I feel good. It seems like an atmosphere of belief. You know what I mean, preachers? You know what I mean. I feel like an atmosphere of belief. The problem is when you leave out here. When the atmosphere leaves. Remember the good points, okay? If a man have two wives, one beloved and the other hated, and they have bore him children, both the beloved and the hated, if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he had, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him how much? Will you ever be equal to the Son of God positionally? No. Of all that he had, for he is the beginning of his, the right of the firstborn is his. Okay, let's see now. Deuteronomy, Genesis 37:24-25. Genesis. Why is he made Lord? You'll be able to preach for 6 months on that. The people might even pay their tithing since you're feeding them. 24. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gibeah with camels bearing sorceries and palms and spicery and palm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit? Genesis 27, isn't it? 27, 36. Did I thought I said that? Did I? I said 27, right? Are you? It's because you're hearing a little bit lower than I am. Let's read the 26th verse. The 36th verse, sorry. Okay, and he said not. He said, is it not rightly named Jacob, for he had supplanted me these two times? He took away my birthright. Remember, the birthright is the firstborn. And behold, now he had taken away my blessing. And he shall, thou hast not reserve a blessing for me. And what's your father now? Isaac said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy firstborn is Lord over all his brothers. That's why Paul always says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Because we serve our big brother. And by serving our big brother and patterning after our big brother, who God had tutored to be like him, so that we can also be, that's right, adopted in our positions. See why he that is in you is him is important, because we, what Brother Branham, who was Luther? That was the Son of God represented there. Who was Wesley? That was the Son of God represented there. Right? He that received whom I send received me. And he that received me received the one that sent me. So that's the order. So we are all servants of the firstborn. And he is our Lord. Second, firstborn. Not only that, and all his brethren have I given him for, so that which he's Lord over all of them. All of them. Third reason he's Lord. You'll never hear another oneness message. In fact, you probably never, if you're in a oneness church, you never heard that. You can go to church 100 years, die. You'll never come from the rapture, and you still wouldn't hear this. They wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. They know nothing about it. They don't even go close to it. Let's go again. The third reason he is Lord is because he is King of the Jews. Psalms 89. I will make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Isn't that right? Fourth. He is an overcomer. So when he overcame death, hell, and the grave, he was given the title Lord. The fifth, which is a tricky one, he is the high priest over the house of God. Isn't that right? If he's over the house, then he's Lord over that house. He's the high priest of God. And the high priest is also the judge. Is that right? He's the high priest of God. You think God could make somebody God? You think God could make himself God? He is made Lord and Christ for five reasons. But he never made another God. The oneness want to label it that because they are tools of Satan to kill the influence of the truth, to belittle it, to create such a scarecrow that will keep the innocent away. But you can't keep that from the elect. Though we will only be one in a million. Though we will be only one in a million. Let's finish up this here. Brother Branham is a oneness. I am not. I think you are both wrong. Oneness and Trinity. The truth lays in the middle of the road. Now, what is oneness? Baal worship. Who preaches it? Baal priests. I got thousands of good Trinity friends. They're in that Babylon. I got a lot of oneness friends in that Babylon too. You can have Babylon in the message. 98%. I always wondered, why God didn't give these truths to great men who are popular? Reagan, Biskel, Lonnie Jenkins, Ronnie Millievo. I heard Ronnie was here. I know him very well. But he took Durban by storm with a oneness Godhead. And they fell for it and ate it. And didn't even know it. Let me tell you something, how bad it is. Brother Branham said the capstone revelation is the Godhead. He said it's the greatest revelation in the Bible. He said without it you can't even get to base one. First. You've had almost 25 to 30 years, men, in this message. Which convention did they ever take Godhead as a text, the greatest revelation? You see, it's so simple. The oneness doctrine is so simple. They don't have anything to preach about it. Jesus is God, Jesus is Lord. Bam, that's the revelation. And yet they say, great is the mystery of godliness. Oh. What mystery? It's so simple. You just have somebody come off the street, give them a church aid book. That person never asks anything about Godhead. They believe it. The greatest revelation. They'll argue about polygamy and the supper and whether it'll be literal food. Or they'll argue about all sorts of things, but at last you had anybody arguing on Godhead. The devil has blinded them, deceived them so badly. Now you want to know why there's so much in the message. They're dying, running, they're dying out like flies. Why? Why didn't, I ask, why didn't God give it to somebody who is likable, more political. I am not. I am not. My friends will tell me this. It's hard to be friends with me. It's hard to be friends with me. For me to be friends with me. Rough, crude, and hard. That's the truth of it. I wish I could talk nice like AD. Good spokesman. But that's not how God wants it. He does not want this to be given to everybody. If he wanted it, he would give it to great men of renown. But he doesn't want to do it. So watch out, friends. Let's see where oneness comes from. Now, at the Nicaea Council, two great decisions. One of them was a triune God, a Trinity. The other one was a one God. So guess who is the father of both doctrine? The devil. They both come into existence and went out in two straight limbs out like that. The oneness became a Unitarian, just as far wrong as the other one was. So they both went out on limbs, but right, and there's the truth. Jesus could not be his own father, neither if he had a father outside of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost conceived him, and he said God was his father. If you reject the true and living God, there's only one thing or the other, only one other thing you can do, and that is an untrue God or a false God. You reject this, you just go back to oneness. Notice, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thy altars, I am left alone and they seek me. But what say the Lord? I have reserved to myself 7,000 who will not bow their knees to the image of Baal. So if there is an Elijah, if there is a oneness, if there is a Baal worship, if there are priests of Baal, there must be elect who will not worship. Everybody happy? I think you all know this. I'm not going to read any more of these. I just want to get to the heart of this here now. All right. They said, Brother Tony, no, the Son and the Father is one. They're just playing roles. Well, let's look what the prophet said. In the message, who is God? What is he doing? Writing his first Bible. Notice the human beings once looked towards the heavens. Today, he's got a Bible wrote here, but he wrote it in the heavens that man would look up and realize that Jehovah, the Creator. So, Jehovah is the Creator. The Son could not create. God by him created. Lived above. And then I can see him. He looked. I can see him speak to this world hanging there. An icicle. Whatever it was. Way away. And he moved it over here. I can see this little light go out. Now we've got two now. The Father. And out of the Father, the light. The Son. How much you got now? That's still true, Eddie. We can't take what we want from the message. We've got to take all he said. You think he made a mistake? Let's just think he made a mistake. Proverbs 30. Who had ascended up into the heavens or descended? Who had guarded the winds in his fist? Who had bound the waters in a garment? Who had established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? There's a father, there is a son. Right? Nobody can answer that except the prophet in this day. Paul could have. But this day the mystery is revealed. Right? Okay. Now, if you don't, you're going to make it a liar. Every word of God is pure. Well, that means that quote that the prophet has preached, that's the word of God. That's pure too. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You can't trust him unless you trust his prophet's message. Add thou not unto his words, lest you make and worship the creature more than the creator. Lest he prove thee and thou be found a liar. He's got all those things made together. Made all the other things. All the animals, the bees, the monkeys, whatever it was. Put them all on the earth. Then he asked the question, let us. And the prophet said, who? Father and Son. Make man in our image. We're going to throw that away too? Or explain it away? You know what Brother Bamsey, a theologian, is? They said, Brother Tony, you're too intellectual. You know what Brother Bamsey said an intellectual was? He said, a man who can explain away the truth. So you see these people who talk with broken language and they explain away the truth? They are intellectuals, even though their diction might not be good. Prophet definition. Well, now, if you notice close Genesis 1:26, let us, the first part now, God said, let us make man in our image. Of course, we realize he's talking to someone. He was talking to another being. Think he made a mistake with that too? There's only one God, and I differ to disagree with the organization of Pentecost that calls the oneness like your finger is one. That's wrong, absolutely wrong. Jesus couldn't be his own father. Amen. So, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. So the son is not. He said you have one in heaven. Jesus said, pray our father, so my father is his father. John 20:17, I ascend unto my father, your father, my God, your God. Right? Look, Jesus come to manifest the Father. Therefore, the Jews sought to kill him because not only he had broke the Sabbath, but he said that God was his Father. Amen. One God and Father over all, who is above all, through all, and in all. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we are him, and one Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know one Lord Jesus Christ is not talking about God. We know it's because he was made Lord. I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Nobody can be head of God. Ye have Christ, and Christ is of God. Ephesians 1:13. This is the prayer. You hear the even ministers in the message, oh, Father, Jesus, God, oh, Lord. Anything that comes out of their mouth, after all, is the same person to them. But not to us. Not to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear he. What are you going to do with all of these scriptures, brother? You see, when you are a oneness, a delusion over your eye, and when you read, you don't see anything but the lie. Until God, by grace, opens it up. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, wow, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Only God can give revelation. Even only God can give it to his Son. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son, even though it says Lord. It is not God. You have to have a revelation. So now you have 2 Corinthians 12:3. No man can call Jesus, this Jesus, the Son. No man can call the Son, Jesus, Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. You have to have a revelation. I'm jumping the gun, you know that, right? But we must find where God put his name, for it is the only place provided. Where did he put his name? In his Son. Or you say, wait a minute, Brother Branham, that was the Son, not the Father. The Son always takes the Father's name in every case. I come in earth of Branham because my Father's name was Branham. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. You want the scripture? John 5:43. I come in my Father's name. Then the Father put his own name, which is Jesus, in the Son. I don't think we need all of these. I don't think we need them. Okay. You say, Brother Tony, are you sure you're saying that there are two? Yeah. If you have an invisible somebody and you want to make themselves known, you better have somebody there for him to use. That's the only way you're going to know him. The Bible said, as it is written in your law, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. Now, I don't know, but that's 1 and 1 equals 2. Deuteronomy said, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or in any sin that is in it. At the mouth of two witnesses or the mouth of three witnesses, the matter shall be judged. Now, God cannot break his word. You agree? So I am going to skip all of these because I know you know these things. And what I'm going to do Is that good? Can you read that? I'll let Brother Branham's own words line up with the scripture. Anyone knows that two is a witness, three is a confirmation. The Jews said to Jesus, "We know that you're a demon because you speak of yourself." It takes two to make a witness, Jesus said. I am one, and the Father that dwelleth in me is the other one. How much is that? Why do they hate when you say two? Why do they hate that so much when the prophet is saying it? Follow again. Maybe that just be just locked out with that quote. Here, the prophet of God again, 1960. He said, "If you can't believe me, believe in the works I do. Your word is wrong. You testify of yourself." He said, "Two is a witness. I am one witness, and my Father that dwelleth in me is the other witness." Amen. How can it be one in a finger? Can you imagine God being one plane, different road, testifying the same time? That's like me. I go to court. They say, "What did you see?" "Well, what is your name?" "Well, I'm Father Tony." "What did you see?" "I saw this man rob this guy." "Okay, I go back. I come back. Who are you?" "Oh, no, I'm a lawyer, Tony." They say, "Man, get out of here. You testify already. It's one person, body, soul, and spirit." I'm the same man. "Can't do it. You got two. You got to have two." Well, maybe that was only two witnesses. Let's see if we have three. The fifth chapter of the 36th verse, God speaking of his son first, vindicating his claims. Next, John speaking of him. Now the son speaks for himself. The fifth verse, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father giveth me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." That's three witnesses. John speaking, God speaking for him, and he speaking for himself. You still believe that Jesus is the one God just plain roles? Well, let me tell you a little secret. If God can play roles and tell lies, and not either do it. It's no, I'll tell a lie if somebody else did it. Well, then I could play a role with him too. No, it's not either do it, that's the first birth did it. "I was just playing a role, Father. You don't remember how you lie? I lie too." They deceive you because they are oneness. They're using oneness deduction. I'm not going to leave this. There's a lot more quotes on this, but I'll leave it. I've showed you there. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to destroy the idea that they want to say he's one and he's everything. No, there are two Jesuses. One who has a beginning, and one has no beginning. There's a Jesus who's visible, and there's a Jesus who's invisible. There's a Jesus who has a beginning, there's the one who's an I am. Here's what Brother Branham says. This is what God's provided me. I'm not going to take a lot of them. I just want to show you that it's a prophet's word. Why you hear all the quotes, why don't you hear all of them? The Mohammedans are Ishmael's people. We know that they believe in the same God we do. But they believe that Muhammad is his prophet. We believe there's one true living God and Jesus is his son. I thought this Jesus was God. Greater than Solomon. They believe God. That's Ishmael people. Every morning a great bong rings. And the priest comes on and says, "There's only one true and living God. And Muhammad is his prophet." We believe there's one true and living God. And Jesus is his name. In their report. Same thing. There's one true and living God. And Jesus is his son. And that's the difference. The only difference between the Mohammedan. You know, the Mohammedan is closer to the truth than the oneness people in the message. Because they believe in one God. But how much does the oneness believe in? Two gods. They only say oneness to trick you. The Mohammedans today believe in one true God, and they say there's only one true and living God, and Muhammad is his prophet, and we say there's one true and living God, and Jesus is his son. And all the way, brother, I can read more and more and more. All of these are quotes pertaining to one true God, and Jesus is his son. I don't even have to read it anymore. I just want to develop the case. All right, here comes the end now. What is the name of the Father? What's the name of the Son? You got the five reasons he's made Lord, right? Okay. I'm going to put myself in the spot. Is there any reason why the five reasons is not scriptural? Is there anybody give an idea why it is not scriptural? Or is it scriptural? Did he make him Lord? Is the five reasons scriptural? So you do believe that? Okay, I'll put you in the spot, because if I get you to say it, see, you can't tell your friend when you go outside to explain something different. You say, but I hear when you say yes. See, I know all the tricks of the devil, because sometimes you bring a little friend to show him how much you know, and then after you're looking for a little something to hear, you see what he said? 99% right he never heard, but the 1% becomes the mountain. You know that. We are experts at those things, aren't we? Yeah, you got to fall on the devil. Okay, so the Son, Jesus, inherits the name. The Son has a beginning. And the Son, Jesus, is made Lord, but not God. He's given a title, right? Five reasons. Everybody happy? At the Jordan, he becomes Christ, he's born Christ, but he becomes Christ at the Jordan. The prophet said that in the Message Paradox. He was born the Christ to become the Christ. He doesn't become anointed until the Jordan, so he becomes the anointed one. The 12-year-old boy, hardly knowing anything himself, that's what the prophet said, right? Alright, now, so here we have the anointed one, Christ. So you have here Lord Jesus Christ. Lord because of five reasons. Right? Jesus because he inherits his Father's name. And Christ. Now, the reason he inherits his name is because he is made a different species. He is a new creation. He's not Adam creation. Because Adam was the son of God, but he didn't carry his father's name because he didn't carry his father's blood. Isn't Adam a son of God? Well, every son comes in his father's name. Why wasn't he called Jehovah Jr.? Wasn't. Because he did not carry. So this is a different, unique creation, completely different from Adam. For redemption. So this Lord Jesus Christ is the Son. Then you have the Father. He is not his own father. And his father is Jehovah, Brother Bram said. Another name for the patriarch, Old Testament name is Melchizedek. And then you have Elohim, the self-existent one who unfolded himself in the redemptive names. Okay, so you have Jehovah, Elohim. Okay, he has no beginning, no end, we know that. Then he takes a patriarch name. When the prophet preached the message, Abraham the patriarch, he is introducing that Abraham was only typing what God had in his mind, which was a patriarch order. And what's a patriarch order? Where the father is the head of the race. Where the father gives the son a bride, the father gives him a future home, the father gives him his inheritance, he never works for anything. That's the patriarch order. And he takes his father's name, he takes his father's inheritance, and eventually he takes his father's place. You see, how can that be? He said, his name is good on the checkers' minds. So, you have this. Now, his patriarch name becomes Jesus. Jehovah is L-O-R-D. Nobody made him that. Right? So, this Jehovah, this Elohim, this is the one
that spoke to the prophet. He spoke to the fathers by the prophet. That's Hebrews 1:1. God in sundry time and diverse manner spake unto the fathers by the prophet. How did he speak to them? He sent the Holy Ghost, which is called the anointing. And the anointing or the anointer is Christ. So there is a Christ who is the anointed, anointed the Father. And there is a Christ who is the anointed one. That's different. Okay? No one made him Lord. No one made him Christ. And no one named him Jesus. He named himself. We all agree? Alright, now, you say, Brother Tony, what does this mean? Now, I'm going to come here. The Son's name is Lord Jesus Christ. The Father's name is Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to read Proverbs 30. What is his name? And what is his Son's name? What do you think we should say? So let's go. Somebody's wife is looking for her. If you know you're hanging out with the boys, you're in trouble. Let us read this quickly. I've just got three sets of notes. The one thing I will not be able to do tonight, unless you plan it by coffee and donuts, I will not be able to do Jehovah crying in a manger, because that stumbles the oneness to death. They don't even know how to approach that. Now, we find out that Jesus also said, I come in my Father's name and he received me none. Then the Father's name must be. Is that what Brother Bam is saying? Jesus cannot be his own father. Right? This Son cannot be his own father. And the Father's name is. So this Jesus was Jehovah of the All. But this Jesus was not. And since this is the God that spoke to the fathers by the prophets, this was the Jesus that was in David. This was the Jesus that was in Daniel. This was the Jesus that was in Jesus. So, in the message of the hour, from the minute a oneness pastor or minister pick up a message book, he's already in sin. Because when they say calling Jesus on the scene, which one? If you call him, it means you don't know the word and the promise. Because he can't come, you meet him in the air. But God in the form of a prophet can be on the scene. So, we would see Jesus. From the time they read that book, they're already in sin. From the minute open the book, they're already in sin. Because which one you want to see? The one who will say, I could do nothing? Or the one who could discern the thoughts of the heart? Or the one who can heal? Which one you want to see? Jesus keeps all his appointment. Which one? You mean the one who doesn't know when he's coming back? You see, brother, they pity us. They say, look at them people, they're crazy, they're heretics. They're two God people. They're Brother Tony people. See? They are Brother Gregory people. They are Brother Veil people. They don't know that these different groups, they might be different, but our concept is Father and Son. That's our concept. From the minute of oneness, and if your uncle, your daddy, your friend, your father's friend is the pastor, and he never taught you that he's a oneness, but he's a proud oneness, blind but don't know it, Laodicean blind, a and don't know it. But proud. You say, Brother Tony, what's the problem? The problem is that first generation was not birthed. The majority of their pastors did not get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They started from, I can't understand that man, he's behaving bad, I don't like his teaching, he's off, go start a church. There's no birth. Because you have to get birth from the body. If somebody is not born again, even if he's not born again, they cannot pass on life. They can tell you all about the message, but baptism of the Holy Ghost cannot happen of an Acts 1 and 8. After you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then you'll be witnesses unto me. And if those ministers are not born again, I can guarantee you, if your Godhead is wrong, your son of man is wrong. Your short voice and trump is wrong. They have no clue. Like I'm going to show you in 10 minutes. Just give me a minute. This is not the real thing. This is just to show that there's a case. It's dangerous. They don't know what they're talking about. Right? But the real heart is the Bible becomes a new book. Once Godhead opens up, your Bible becomes a new book. Because that's your seventh seal. That's the mystery that everyone wants to know, even the angels. They don't even know the details of their own creator. Because God reserved that right to you and I first. To his children, not his servants. That's right, the name of the Father is Jesus. So if the name of the Father is Jesus, then his son inherits that name, Jesus. So how many Jesus you have?
Two.
But the oneness only have one. So when Paul says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever, it's him you're talking about, because he is God and he changed not. And if nobody ever told you that, if you have a church and a pastor never told you that, how many is brave? How many, if the Lord give you a revelation, how many is really brave? Shouldn't you be brave? I want you to go back to your pastor tonight and tell him, Pastor, we better repent. We need to get straight. And you tell him, boy, go take a cold shower. Calm down. That's what they're going to tell you. Take it back to them. If they got life, they can't reject the word. Rabbam said they can't. They can't reject it. They won't reject. They can't reject it. Unless they're foolish virgin. If they're foolish virgin, they will not fight it. They'll say, man, that's so deep. You know, just love the Lord. Just love the people. That's predestination. That's foolish virgin for you. The Father and the Son have the same name. The Father is the Father is the invisible Jesus, and the Son is the visible Jesus.
Amen.
God only had one name, and that name is Jesus. That was his Son. He took the name of his Son, God. Now, Jesus, the body, was a man. That was the Son of God overshadowed. So the Son of God is a man. What is this one? He is the Spirit.
Amen.
The invisible. Hebrews 1 and 4, so much better than the angels. As by inheritance you obtain a more excellent name than they. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We are named not after the Son, but after the Father. Philadelphian Church Age. A pillar in the temple of my God. I will write upon him the name of my God. Now what's the name of God? Jesus. If you want to jot that down, we're getting it late. Jesus, Ephesians 3:15. A heaven and earth, all is named Jesus, you see. And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, I'll put on him. Oh, you see, it's all the same name. You should already have caught it. The city, now watch, he's going to interpret scripture here. The new church is a Gentile church, the bride is a Gentile. The Gentile has his name. He took a people out from his name. Now he's going to tie it to Acts 15 and 14. And after that, they had held their peace. James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God at first visited the Gentile to take a people out for, not the son's name, His name.
Glory.
Amen. You see, the city of God, which is all the same name, Jesus the Father, Jesus the Son, Jesus the Bride. We must find where God put his name, for his only provided gate. Where did he put his name? In his son. Or you say, Brother Branham, that was his son. The son always takes his father's name. Philippians 2:9, therefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above. Who gave him a name? God has given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, everything in heaven and earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, not God. Watch the next verse. To the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Now listen to this very carefully. Who are the one you want to call on the scene? Watch carefully. Watch. You got to watch him. You see, if you're oneness, you'll read the message and never see it. Watch carefully. In the Bible, Colossians 1:15, we worship an invisible God. God is invisible. Do you believe that? Amen. Then the person coming around here with nail prints and smoke and blood and everything wouldn't make him God. We worship an invisible God. He has always been invisible until he identified himself in Jesus Christ. Is that right? The pillar of fire that Moses saw was not the invisible God. The pillar of fire was the Shekinah glory that represented that the visible God was at hand. When John baptized Jesus, the Son of God, so there's a Jesus, the Son of God. God, the invisible God, came down in the form of a light, shaped like a dove, sailing down through the air. The invisible God identified in Shekinah glory. The same invisible God identified himself in a pillar of fire. Is Shekinah glory. Then they dedicated the temple at Solomon. It come in and went. The pillar of fire went in behind the curtains. Upon the Holy of Holies, Shekinah glory was identified. Now when Paul was on the road to Damascus, the invisible Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can't hear you. The invisible Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8. Not the visible one. He cannot come down and leave the throne. Amen. He ever lived to make intercessions.
Amen.
Whom the heavens must retain. He can't come down. Acts 3:21. That's how we know Hebrews 13:8. Which one? To Paul in the form of Shekinah glory, a light that put all the sinners' eye. Watch the prophet's language here. That same Shekinah glory is here tonight.
Amen.
Well, then it's this Jesus here, not this one. We meet him in the air. That's the coming of the Lord. This is the appearing of the Lord. And they're not the same. That is why first generation taught you, and I'm guarantee, how many believe? I guarantee almost 95% of you sitting here was taught by your pastors that 1963 was the coming of the Lord. They blame all these people and say, you know, look, this man preaching millennium is here, this man preaching no foot washing, no, this man preaching no communion. It is they that caused it. My generation did not preach 1963 is the coming of the Lord. It was first generation that taught that. They are the one who produced 63 coming, he's here. No communion, no foot washing. My generation told you that was the appearing.
Amen.
This is the coming. This is the coming. This is the appearing of God in the form of a prophet.
Glory.
My generation. No, sorry. I remember the first year I came to Durban. Two of their main elders met me. And what were they saying? Seven seals, 63, the coming of the Lord. Well, if they are the elders and they taught that, I knew what the other churches. Thank God for Brother Louis. The same Shekinah glory is here tonight. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the one, not him. Representing the invisible God, confirming his word with signs that he promised. Expectation. And then we see in the scriptures that God, after dwelling in Christ, had returned back again by the name of Jesus in the same light that he was in the beginning. So watch carefully now. If you're not taught, Abraham is going to destroy you. Because there's a Jesus, listen, because there's a Jesus that died, buried, resurrected, glorified body sitting on a throne. And there's a Jesus who died, buried, resurrected, ascended in a glorified body and came back on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
The invisible one came back. The visible one did not come back. In verse 64. And when Saul or Paul then recognized that God comer, Jehovah comer, the pillar of fire, the Old Testament comer, had called himself Jesus.
Amen.
Not the angel calling the son Jesus, called his name Jesus. When God himself called himself Jesus, he took on a policy, he was ready for it.
Amen.
Right? This is the bummer. The oneness hate this one. Look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness? It was Christ, the angel of the covenant. How many know that was Jesus in Jesus? That same spirit. You think Abraham is making a mistake? You think, oh, he's playing with words. So I ask you, they think, they pity us. We are lost. There's so few of us that believe it. You know, oh, we're going to shut all the doors. In Cape Town, they shut all the doors. But guess what? Now there's a church in Cape Town who believe like us. Brother, amen. Amen. You got it. Are they hooked up today? They closed it down. They shut us down. Guess what? And the more they do it, is the more it forces us to start our own churches. Our own works. You say, but Tony, you're messing up churches and people are pulling and leave it. I am not faithful to the church. I'm faithful to the word. What do you think? I'm a Catholic? God is in his church. That's a Catholic spirit. Amen. God is not in his church. God is in his word.
Amen.
Amen. You say, but Tony, this pastor has been here for so many years. Yes, he got fat. So did Lonnie Jenkins. So did Jeff Jenkins. He's been 30 something years. What does that have to do with it? It just goes to show that he could deceive them for 30-something years that he was born again. How can a man who is not born again know a man who is not born again? But we knew because we knew his doctrine. Look at the great names he was able to deceive. The Reagans, the Biscars, the Becketts. Look at the great men he could deceive. By birth. Huh? Could he have deceived you, Brother Norman? His doctrine stole what he was. That was Jesus and Jesus, the same spirit. Look, when they question him, it's in John 6, calling your attention. Where do we see Jesus in David? When the word was made flesh through him. How do you see Christ? God in Elijah. In the chariot. Jesus in Elijah. So now I want to ask you a question. Jesus comes in three sons' name. Now I ask you the question. Which Jesus comes in three sons' name? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. You should have let some of the younger brothers answer. Which Jesus? A oneness pastor will never ask you that question. Which Jesus comes in three sons' name? It can't be this one because when he come back a son of man today, it wasn't him. So which Jesus comes in three sons' name? This Jesus. He came in son of man 2,000 years ago. He come on the day of Pentecost, son of God. He comes back son of man in Brother Branham. And he's going to come in his son incarnate. Revelation 19, son of David. Which comes in three sons' name?
Amen.
Angel of the covenant. Watch carefully. And that pillar of fire comer, or the angel comer, was the angel, was the covenant. I believe all ministers would agree that that was the angel of the covenant. It was the angel of the covenant, then it was the Lord Jesus. Watch carefully now. If you don't know the new name of God, it was God the Holy Spirit. So is Lord Jesus Christ the Son? Let's pick one more. Look how you can pervert the message. Look how easy you could pervert the message. Let's read. Proving his word. He promised these things would happen in the last days, that the Son of Man will be revealed. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. It was not him. Alright? Are you with me? It was not him. It was this Jesus. It was Jehovah Elohim who is in our day.
Right? You say, prove it to me, Brother Tony. Because when in John 8, he said, you saw Abraham? He said, before Abraham was I am. The prophet said, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there. So it was not the man that was there. It was this one speaking in him. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. Okay, one more. Here. Jesus. How many know that Jesus is a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel? I came from God, I go to God. Is that right? And when Paul met him on the road to Damascus, when he, the great light, the pillar of fire, he, the same one today, the Holy Spirit of God, the body Jesus sets on the right hand on the throne. That's the body, the man Jesus. But his spirit is here on earth, completing and finishing his work. And that same spirit that lived in the body of Jesus Christ was the same spirit that was in the angel that came to Sodom and Gomorrah, which was Abraham. So it had to be him. And this Melchizedek was not Jesus, for he was God. And what made Jesus and God different? Jesus was the tabernacle dwelt in. Now, Melchizedek, Jesus had both father and mother. This man had no father and mother. Jesus had beginning of life and end of life. Now, the reason there's a difference between God and Jesus, Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning. Beginning? No beginning. But if you take him and make him God like your fingers, God, you're worshipping the creature more than the creator, and you are a Baal worshipper, a oneness, and don't know it. All right, so then, if you do it, if you got these two mixed up, which 95-98% of the message world has done that. That's why it's only one in a million is going to make it. They have already break the first commandment. And they're already perverting the message. So let's prove that. Let's prove that. Let's go to Psalms 110, if you don't mind, brother. A man with a gene who's got a seed can't wait to repent. A pastor, a man who knows the responsibility to wait. He can't wait. Not trying to refute. He just knows. He doesn't know that I didn't know this whole world existed. He'll get right with God. He'll humble himself. That is the seed. Even a foolish virgin will do that. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down in my right hand till I make my enemies thy footstool. Is that right? All right. Now, we read this. I'm going to leave that there. I'm going to leave that there because right here, you know, is the day of Pentecost, right? The third verse is the day of Pentecost. No. Right here. The people will be willing the day of thy power, right? That's the day of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is what makes us willing. Then the fourth verse is the intercessory rule. The Lord has sworn, repent, a high priest of the order of Melchizedek. So you have the Lord, after his death, burial, and resurrection, ascended on the throne, right, here. Is that right? Then the next verse, go on up. The next here is the day of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So now the people are coming under the power to draw them. And then he's interceding for that people. Is that right? And then after there's going to be a judgment. So let's take one step at a time. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This is the bride's, a heart of the bride's message. Is that right? If you are 25 years and was never asked this question, you were glorifying the very thing that you say that you love, you were perverting it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. The Lord what? Why did the scripture say the Lord himself? The Lord himself. Now I want to ask you the question, because if you come up in a oneness church, they'll never ask you this. Which Lord has descended? The Lord or the one who was made my Lord? Which Lord? This Lord or this Lord? Now you got to be honest. You know your pastor never asks you that. And if he never asks you that, it's because he's a oneness. He don't have a clue. In fact, his whole entire gospel is perverted. As you say, you're hurting me, Brother Tony. I wanted to hurt until it brings us to our knees. Because I want to be there with you. And I might be your enemy now, but one day if the Holy Spirit ever brings it back to your mind, you will think of me kindly. So we don't make friends. We make converts. Which Lord descended? Thank you, brother. He cannot descend. But the reason they never ask you which Lord descended is because they are oneness. You will hear Brother Bram said in a rapture message, Jesus does all three as he descends. Is that right? Now let's take shout, voice, and trump. He descends in the shout. I preach this at your dad. The shout is to the living. That's when he preached in a mortal type body. And I'm going to give you brothers a piece, because I feel you'll pick it up. The voice is a ministry beyond the grave. That's when he preached in a theophany type body. Because when Jesus died in the Alpha, he never did stop preaching. He was still the Christ when he descended, because he was anointed three times. First time he's anointed at the Jordan. The second time he anointed at his death. The third time he anointed is after his resurrection, before his ascension. Say, prove it to me. Let's do it. Jordan River, do you believe he was anointed? Well, let's take the second one. 1 Peter 3:18. Put it up. Because we still call him Christ. You think he can be a priest without being anointed? Can't. First Peter 3. That's good. We can go down to the 18th verse. Listen to this very carefully. Right here. Okay, watch carefully. The first time he's anointed to preach is an immortal body. A mortal body, isn't that right? He said, for the Lord had anointed me to preach the gospel. Right? But if you go very carefully to Isaiah 61, you will notice to preach to the prison, let the prisoner go. Now I want to ask you, how much prisons did Jesus go to? So you say denominational prison, true. But Brother Bram says there was a prison beyond the grave. And when he led captivity, that was a prison captive to another kingdom. So follow what I want to tell you. For also Christ suffered once for the sins, the just for the earth, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. When? At Calvary, but quickened by the Spirit, whereby he went and what? Well, if Alpha equals Omega, guess what? You gotta have seed to take that. Believe me. You gotta have seed to take that. He was anointed there. And then, after his resurrection, he said, touch me not, for I must ascend unto my Father, and you can't ascend without God unless you're anointed, dressed right. Because you're going into the very presence of God, and he's going in for high priest office. There, Leviticus, the high priest entered twice. The first for himself, and second for the people. And you can't enter in without anointed. That's why he is still Christ, anointed. For the work he has given on the earth to do is finished, but not the one in heaven. Psalms 110. 3. Even if you don't believe it, you know you don't have anything to put there against it. All right. So we now know that you can preach. Let's say a man comes on a pulpit and he says, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:14 through 16. He have no clue who that Lord is. Because in a rapture message, they hear him say, Jesus does all three. So they only have one Jesus. It has to be him. It is him. You say, prove it one more time for me, Brother Tony. Let's prove it. For the trump, the Lord has to anoint Moses and Elijah. That's the trump. Isn't that right? Elohim has to come down here and anoint Moses and Elijah. For that's the trump. The trump is a message to the Jews. The shout is for the living. The voice is for the dead. The trump is for the Jews. Well, of course, there's more than that. There's a threefold mystery under the trump. First phase, bride goes up. Second phase, Satan comes down. Third phase, Moses and Elijah appears. Threefold mystery under there. You're ministers. I don't want to break that down for you. Okay, now, watch carefully. Who is up there in the supper with us? This one. Who is the one descended for the trump? This one. So who descended for the shout? Who descended for the voice? Not him. He said, prove to me one more time, Brother Tony. Is there going to be a resurrection? It says God raised Christ from the dead and then the rest rose. Then it will be God raising. Amen. The New Testament saying, not the Son. Isn't that right? I didn't understand. Oh, the lights. Okay, we have to finish. I've got to get this going then. God will not share his glory with no one. No flesh and glory, not even Jesus. Even anybody could have glory, it would have been Jesus. But he said, it's not me that do the works. All the way through, God will not share his glory. So don't worship the Son as God. Honor the Son for what he did. But worship God for God. Right? Kiss the Son lest he be angry. Okay. All right. No. Let me just close this off here. Let us go to the book of... if you don't mind, brother, to the book of... I've got to make the Bible real for you, right? It said make your Bible a new book. If you got this wrong, your entire Bible is perverted. Entire. Okay, so let's take a couple of examples of that. Revelation 10:1. I see a mighty angel descend from heaven, clothed in a cloud. Page 74 of the seal book. Brother Branham said that was Christ. You're all familiar with the quote, right? That was Christ. Now I want to ask a question, because a oneness will never ask you this. Is it the one who has been made Christ descended? Or is it the one who made him Christ? They'll never ask you that, would they? Colossians 3:4. When Christ our life shall appear, then we shall appear. Now I ask you, is it talking about the corporal body, or is it talking about the stature of the perfect man? That when he comes and reveals himself and anoints and expresses himself, then we know what we should be like. Is it this one or this one? Which Christ appearing? This Christ. Okay, follow one more time. Let us go to the book of 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 1:13. He saw this a lot quicker. That's all right. 1 Peter 1:13. All right, let's quote it for you, and then you can find it. You know it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end. For the end. End when? The seventh seal is the end of all things. For the grace that is to be brought to you. What kind of grace? Capstone. Zechariah 4:7. And at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Which revelation of Jesus Christ is? Revelation of the Son? Or revelation or the unveiling of the mighty God? So this revelation of Jesus Christ is Son of Man. The revealing of the Son of Man, which is God in the form of a prophet, who come to reveal himself in his own word. Amen. So when it says Christ revealing his own word, is it the one who has been made Christ being revealed? Or the one who made him Christ? Because Jesus said, my doctrine is not my own, my teaching is not my own. As I hear, I speak. Amen. Is that right? Well then, who is the Word? Who is the Christ that is the Word? Him. You say, what about him? He is the perfect prophet. Therefore, he is the living Word. He manifested, but he's a living expressed Word. But he is the Word. God is the Word. John 1:1. For you who have never heard John 1:1, let us take it, because it caused ministers a lot of trouble. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Alright? The Word was with God. I see you two sitting back to back to each other. Are you with him? Brother Alistair, are you with him? Yeah. Okay, are you with him? I see you sitting close together. Are you with him?
No, it just happened.
Oh, it just happened. Oh, so with does not mean alongside. Oh. Because sometimes when you read this word and the word was with God, you think it's alongside. Isn't that right? But it's not talking about alongside. It is talking about a law. So let's look at this. I'm going to change this up. The word is a body. And the body was with, and I'm going to change the body, and I'm going to give it a mango body. I like mango. If you guys say, Brother Tony, you know, you help me, get me some mangoes. Mango. This is a mango. This is a body. What kind of body? A mango body. I could say it's a God body, but I just want to use mango. This mango body was with the mango life. Because this is God is life. The mango body is with the mango life. And the mango body was mango, even though it's only the body. The real mango is the life. And that is how God came Logos word form to be manifested. That is not talking about the sun there. The Son, when it says, and the Word was made flesh, you're not talking about the Son. You're talking about God, this one, made flesh here. And when it says, we behold His glory, not His glory, His glory. Alright? One more and I'm closing up. Baptism. If you got these things wrong, let's go one more here. Alright, let's go one more here. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7. Hey, if the electric go, we don't need that, do we? And now you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty... Who is this Lord Jesus? Is it him? Or is it him? Oh, you see, because the angels belong to God, not the Son. He said, don't you know I can pray my Father and he'll send me legions of angels? They're called the angels of the Lord, not the angels of the Son. And in flaming fire taking vengeance, the Son don't take vengeance. Vengeance is mine. And it could only happen in the time of the Son of Man. Because that's the last part of Isaiah 61. The day of vengeance of my God. And that's why he said, turn the photo. And why is he taking vengeance? Because when God unveiled himself and revealed himself, amen, not as a oneness, not as a trinity, they didn't believe it. On them that know not God. Well, why would they not know God? He's been revealed. They rather their oneness beheld Jesus. And obeying not the full revealed true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you three scriptures that, but I showed you three major scriptures that your Godhead revelation will pervert. How much more the others? The first and main one is if you are baptized and a man never asks you which Lord Jesus Christ you are baptized in a oneness baptism. I guarantee 99% of the ministry were baptized in a oneness baptism because they did not know. Ask them if they get rebaptized. Too much shame. Follow. Now look, let's get the baptism here. The first time baptism was ever mentioned in New Testament was John the Baptist. Is that right? I'll place you here. You see, you've got to get your Godhead straightened out before you can get your baptism straightened out. Why? Because there is a Lord Jesus Christ here. And there is a Lord Jesus Christ here. Which Lord Jesus Christ are you baptized in? Now, Brother Branham said the book of Acts is guarded by the gospel. The four gospel. The book of Acts is guarded by the four gospel. So, the book of Acts is going to guard which Lord Jesus Christ you baptize in. Because Matthew is going to guard Acts 2:38. You hear Brother Branham said that, didn't you? So when it says go baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this Father here is not a noun. This is not a noun. This is not a noun. This is not a person he's talking about. This is called a dispensation. He sometimes calls it an office. A dispensation is not a noun, is it? Last time I checked, it wasn't a noun, was it? So that Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not talking about like a man is a father and another young man is a son. And a spirit. He's not talking about that. This is a Catholic three persons. They make these three persons. But Abraham said, no, those are dispensations. So this is not a noun. This is a dispensation. Oki nomos. Oki meaning family. Or house. Nomos meaning law. How God runs his family in the Old Testament, in the dispensation of grace, and in his church. So this is how it works. This one God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he's not the same, he is under fatherhood, under sonship. So this is not a person, this is not a person, this is not a person. These are dispensation of time. So now what happens? You have him in the form of a pillar of fire, which is the anointing Christ, and you have a man Moses.
Amen.
And God under God with Moses in the Old Testament is called fatherhood.
Amen. That's right.
Then Moses said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me. So now this Moses is replaced by a man Jesus, more perfectly made, and then this pillar of fire comes here. Amen. And then that sonship. Then this goes up in a glorified body, and this pillar of fire comes down on the day of Pentecost. That's Holy Ghost ship. That's the Lord Jesus Christ here. This Lord Jesus Christ is the pillar of fire that was in Moses. This Lord Jesus Christ was in his son Jesus. And this Lord Jesus Christ come back on the day of Pentecost. So Father in Matthew 28 is not a noun. Son is not a noun. Holy Spirit is not a noun. He is the noun that was in him. Okay, then? Now, I ask you the question. Who baptized you? Was it a man who was a oneness? Did he ask you which Lord Jesus you were going to be baptized in? And we expect people to get the Holy Ghost. But you could baptize all the people in your whole church if you are oneness. Not one of them will be born again. You're only fooling yourself. If God baptized with a breaking of the first commandment, a perverting of another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit, there's not one born again, Eddie. Not one. You say, what about me? If you got a gene, you'll stand up and say, amen. Because this come to quicken gene. And it has no exception, whether you're a minister or not, you must be born again. And life cannot come unless you met somebody with life. And you say, how do you know he's got life? Watch his teaching. Watch his doctrine. See if he knows his God. See if God has given him grace. Then you know. Well, after I met a man, a brother from Singapore. I showed him these truths. He first found it on DVDs. He said, I've been in a message a long time. He said, I never knew these truths. It was never taught to us. I spoke to his daughters. They said they were never taught this. They knew nothing about it. And they have been in the message for a very long time. He said, Brother Tony, can that be? Brother Cyril has been in it 41 years. And hung out with some old. He was in the Coleman move. He was in most of the other moves. He just got rebaptized a couple of years ago. Why? For some men, they need. For other men, they need obedience. You know why it's only one in a million now, right? How were you baptized, friends? And the question is, who baptized you? Was it a man that had life? And how were you baptizing your people? Continue. The mystery, even of the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, away from the oneness idea. Feast of the Trumpets. Oh, marvelous, the revelation. Now remember, you cannot get it through theologians. So when the prophet says theologian, he means you can only get it through a prophet. Anytime you see revelation, you need a prophet. A true theologian, it doesn't come that way. It only comes as a revelation. Water baptism, using the name of Jesus Christ, can only be given as a revelation. Wait a minute. If there's only one Lord Jesus Christ, you can baptize and it's no problem. But you can't even call him Lord unless you know which Lord you're talking about. Which one is Father? Which one was in the Moses? Was it this one? First generation led us astray. First generation does not know the fullness of the word. First generation started churches without apostolic order. And if you want to be loyal to the church, you have a Catholic spirit. Because God is not in his church. God is in his word. And if his word is in the church, then God is in his church. You say, well my pastor preached. Forget about what the pastor. God is not in the man. If God is in his word, if the word is in the man, then follow the man. If not, he'll lead everything. You see, he's a good man. I know him. He loves everybody. Who cares? The Baptist people love their people too. And they are sincere. Water baptism, using the name of Jesus Christ, can only be given as a revelation. Jesus and God being the same person can only come as a revelation. So let's take that one. Because that gives everybody a lot of trouble. God and Christ is the self same person. Isn't that what gives you a lot? You cannot separate God and Christ. God and Christ is the self same person. You cannot separate God and Christ. Well, let's take a look at that. God and Christ are self same person. Okay, person. Babam said you can't be a person without a personality. What is a personality? Attributes. Attributes are what? They are attributes are traits, qualities. Is that right? And these three words comes down to one word which a prophet identifies after everything, 65, characteristics. And you cannot know God without God is not only known through what? His characteristics. Is that right? Okay, to be a person, you must belong to the species Homo sapiens. To be a person, to be a Homo sapien, you need to have a body, a spirit, and a soul. So therefore, a dog is not a person. A cat is not a person. A mule is not a person. Is that right? You need a body, soul, and spirit. The only problem about it is that God existed before the species of human. So God is not human. He can become, and the way he becomes is not the way you think it is. Because he can become anything, but he doesn't stop being spirit. God is spirit. That is his original. If it was in the beginning like that, it could never change. But he can become anything because he is King Theophany. That's why he's called King Theophany. Right? Okay, so God is what? Spirit. Does spirit have personality? No. So what God did, he created a blood cell. And that blood cell, if we were to say in our language today, he created a DNA. And this DNA carried all the... Thank you, brother. All the attributes, traits, qualities, and characteristics. And this blood cell developed into a masterpiece designed by the sculptor. And all the traits. So when God produced the DNA, he became Emmanuel. Because Emmanuel means God biologically with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God biologically with us by all the qualities and traits. So let us kill the oneness here. This is what two things I do and then I stop, okay? If you want to go further, you'll have to buy the coffee, supply the donuts. But if, two things. One, first, there's only four ways to see God. So if this is the only person, the only body that he designed to show his traits, if this spirit comes on it, how many personalities would be seen? Only one. Because he's not going to design something to make it act differently. He designed something to make it work efficiently, to reflect the express image of himself. So you cannot separate the personality and traits that express in that body because it is the image of the invisible God. Second. Second. There's only four ways to see God. God in his Son, God in his people, God in his Word, God in nature. All right? Are you sure? Okay, now, watch carefully now. They want to tell you, Brother Branham said, that was Jehovah crying in a manger. Therefore, that is God. That just goes to show you can believe something because you believe information. You have to understand the laws and concept of a prophet of God. Watch carefully. So now, that's what they're saying. So I want to ask you something. Is God in a dove? Abraham said, God is in his creation. Is God in a dove? If God is not in a dove, then Brother Branham lied. Oh, let me ask you. Is God in his Son? Yeah? The way that God is in his Son, is it the same way that God is in a dove? Does a dove have Zoe? So listen carefully what he did. God to reveal himself, because in him was qualities of a dove, home loving, faithful, peaceably, pure, clean from the inside. You understand where I'm going? To show, to reveal himself, because all things were created to reveal himself, because all things can be called logos. Because logos means thought and concept of God. And if God is not in his creation, his fingerprints is not in creation, how do you know who it is? It's to reveal his glory, his wisdom, his attribute, his power. So God designed a DNA of the dove that is not made from Zoe. And in the DNA, he placed the characteristics, the attribute, the traits, the qualities, the characteristics in the dove, design how it will behave, what it will eat. That when you look at it, you can say God is in the dove, yet God himself is not in the dove. Did he not call the dove the Holy Spirit? Is that right? So now I ask the same question. Is God in the dove? The question is yes and no. God is in the dove because the attributes and characteristics reveal God by design. But yet Zoe is not in there. God didn't incarnate it. Yet God is in the dove. I'm going to ask you now. If God produced a DNA with all the human biological qualities in the DNA that produced that body, the attributes in that body of that baby of crying, whose attributes is it? Is God in the baby? Brother Bam said, God didn't dwell in Christ until the Jordan River. Paradox. Isn't that right? So God is in the baby because all the biological qualities and traits is in the baby. But yet, God didn't incarnate it yet. Four ways to see God. God in his word, God in his people, God in his son, God in creation. The way that God is in his son, is it the way God is in his people? No. In his son, he was in him biologically by blood. Then, in his soul, he had already had the gene in his soul. He didn't need to be born again. And then he incarnated that spirit at the Jordan. You and I will never be incarnated. And you and I will never have the blood of God. Because we are not part of that. We'll have a body like that body after it's glorified. But God is in the dove. The way that God is in the dove, is it the way that he's in his people? No. The dove have no Zoe. My gene has Zoe. Amen. One more. You'll hear the oneness say, Brother Branham said there's God dying at Calvary. Only God could save. If you don't think laws, if you don't think principle, if you don't think revelation, you'll die there. Oh, I'm saying what the prophets say. So does the Bible. They say what the Bible say and die. Listen carefully now. Are you with me? When Jesus died, what's your name, brother? Mark. Brother Mark. And your name, brother?
Grace.
Well, I perceive you two wouldn't stone me. I can perceive that. I can be friends there. Okay, Mark, listen. When Jesus died, did you die? Remember what I taught you? Yes and no. Everything you talk about Godhead is yes and no. Jesus is God. Yes and no. He's God by revelation. He's God by incarnation. He's God by species. He's God by reflection. You see, he's God in so many different laws, but he's not God like your finger is God. Yes and no. So when Jesus died, did you die? Yes and no. If you say you did not die, you're still in your sins. And then I will ask you, but did you literally die? You would say, no. How did you die then? By representation and imputation. Is that right? And when Jesus died, did God die? Yes and no. How did he die? The way you died. And if he says, if God said you die, and he meant you die, well, when Jesus died, God died. He meant that. By representation and imputation. But can God die?
No one can kill.
No. The oneness can. The oneness can. Listen, friends. The man who found the revelation of Godhead was Peter. Who do men say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If Peter knew that Jesus was God like your finger, and I was Peter, when they went to the garden of Gethsemane and he said, Peter, go pray. He would say, Lord, why am I going over there? You are right here. He couldn't even go to the bathroom without me going. If that was God like your finger. See how foolish it is? They make it so foolish that they think Herod was thinking, I can kill God. Herod was thinking he was going to kill the king, the Messiah. He's not foolish to think he can kill God. And can you imagine how you make God a hypocrite? Father, please save me. Not my will, thy will. You have him a hypocrite role all the time. You make him a liar. Not I did do it. They said, why callest thou me good? There's none good. So the oneness make him a liar. The oneness, he says, it's not my doctrine. They say, you lie, you are the word. He said, Jesus heals. He says, no, I can't heal. They said, no, we know it's a trick. You can heal. He said, I'm not my own father. He said, oh, no. It's a great mystery. I know you're lying to us. It's a mystery, isn't it? No, you are God. That's why the Bible said they changed the truth into a lie and worshiped the creature more than the creature. I've got a couple of minutes if you want to take some questions if you like. If not, I pray that if you're not baptized by somebody with life, whether you're a minister or not, it will always follow you all the days of your life. Get rebaptized and get somebody with life. Get somebody who knows God. Get somebody who has this gospel. Be one in a million. Yes, brother. Brother? Yes, please. If you add a but to it, you're going to get me in trouble then.
No.
Okay, all right. Good. Thank you, brother. It's good to know that we'll be stoned together. Praise the Lord. True.
And the first question that I wanted to ask
Yes.
Before Jesus came, the Son, when I meet Jesus, talking about the Son of God.
Yes.
Before Mary, before Joseph, he was there. He knows that there is something from Joseph.
That's right. Yes, yeah. Yeah, I get you. I've been there.
And the prophet says that God, no one can see God.
Yes, yeah.
Father, no one can see
God. Yes, yeah.
But Son can see God.
Yeah. So the whole thing revolves around one thing. Of course, that is beyond the Godhead. Now, after you believe it, the technicalities come into play, right? We know, according to John, and there's also a quote for it, according to John 17 and 4. Is there any way to put it up, John 17, 4? I can't remember exactly how it goes. Okay, all right. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that God gives me to do. So the finished work here now. He's finishing up his earthly work. Oh, now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. We know he coexisted, right? And Brother Abraham said the only person that coexisted was the Son. Not in eternity, but the firstborn of all creation. And Brother Abraham used firstborn in two ways. God coming into creation, and he also used it for the Son. So Colossians 1:15 is used both ways. I hope you know that, right? Compound. He uses it both ways. Okay, so we know he existed. Now let's use a principle. If I give you a corn of grain, can you tell me what I'm going to end up with? I'm going to end up with a stalk with ears. Is that true? That's true, isn't it? If I give you a stalk and I don't tell you this, what did I start with? If I only tell you this, could you tell me what this started with? This. All I have to do is give you the one. You can tell me according what it ends with. If I tell you this, I tell you this. So, can you put up, brother, page 1046 COD, or you can, and above the lamb will be
1046.
Yes, 1046. Yeah. Wow. See, you should be asking that guy. You probably don't want to ask him because then he'll ask you for tithing. Wow, sorry about that. But it's worth it. It's worth it. That question comes up all the time when you start going on in the discussions. Okay, there we go. That's not it? 64, questions and answers. Sorry, not questions and answers, is it? Yeah, 1046. COD, book 2. Above the Lamb will be the great light. I don't know if it says the Father or the great light first. I can't remember. The Father with Hover. H-O-V-E-R. Sorry. I normally don't put it down here for the series. Oh, there we go. Let's read from the top. On top Mount Zion will set the lamb, and the city will need no light, for the lamb is the light thereof. So right we go. Lamb, light. All right? Now, this lamb is glorified. And before it can be glorified, it has to have a theophany. And if it has a theophany, it has to have a soul. And if it has a soul, it has a gene in it. All men have soul, but not all men have gene. Only sons have genes. So, this is the idea. For this glorified body to exist, it had to have a gene. And this gene was in a soul. This soul has a theophany. This theophany has to be glorified. Right? Now watch carefully again. On top of Mount Zion will set the lamb. The city will need no light, for the lamb is the light thereof. And above the lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos, the great light. So you have the light. You have the great light. You have the Logos. So now, let's look at this piece here. All right? Let us go to Psalms 104. Okay, right there. Who covers thyself with light as a garment, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. So what he is, this Logos is not a body. That's not a body. Most people think it is. It's not a body. This great light is the body. So this great Logos and this light is what manifests, because you can have Logos without manifest. Logos means thought and concept. All right. So you have Spirit God, who is the Logos. Spirit God, who is the Logos, existing, and he's clothed with this light above the throne. Catch what I'm saying? Okay, shut on heaven like a curtain. Now let's go back now to the quote, because I at the end of everything, I end up with something. So I had to start with something. All right. So I'll talk about Zoran, set the lamb. I'll show you how you become lamb. And the city will need no light, for the lamb is the light thereof. And above the lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos, God, the great light, the eternal light that shines just above the throne. And Jesus will not be on his Father's throne, because right now he's co-equal with the Father, with the throne, right? He will be on his own throne, and the Father will hover over the Son. Now watch carefully what I want to show you. Now, if this is how it ends, how it ends in future home, how did it begin? It had to begin with two lights. Isn't it right? It had to be. But we did not know this. It's this that makes it clear how we end up. So Jesus will not be in his Father's throne. He will be on his own throne. And the Father will hover over the Son. With the Father and the Son will be one. And while they are yet speaking, I will answer before they think. So that's 1 Corinthians 15:24, right? So then there is an existence of a soul in the beginning, a theophany, a son, and there is God hiding and clothing himself behind that. Right? Now, to prove it to you, let us go to Ephesians 3 and 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God. Well, what was hidden God? The first thing. To reveal God, he had to bring forth a son, because without the son, he could not reveal himself. Right? Who created all things by? Then it had to be that he could anoint someone to speak. Right? Okay, so you're going again. Let us go to the book of Hebrews 1. And 2. Had in these last days spoken to us on his Son, by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, firstborn, by whom he, so this quote in 1046 is only confirming that these two existed before an angel brought forth. Right? Okay, let's see now. One more. Colossians 1:15. You know it. Do I know when you've quoted? You know it. Okay, second question.
This confirms that from the beginning, God was in Christ, right?
Yes.
And he was not in the first point from eternity, but from the beginning, God was in Christ.
Okay, this is where this third pull part, seventh seal, hidden mystery. That's why you got to get your people. I was just telling Brother Louis, I'll tell you too, your pastor. Three stages you got to get your people to before you can ever take them into that third pole, the opening of the full word. All of these things are wonderful, but it does start, it's only beginning. The first step was this. You've got to get the people to see that when Brother Branham spoke or taught, that was Jesus speaking. No difference between Brother Branham and Jesus. Right? And that comes through showing that God came down and vindicated him. The second fool is that you've got to get the people to see that what you say as pastor or what you say as apostle is the same thing Brother Branham said. In other words, you've got to have such confidence that when they say, what's your name again?
Joseph.
Brother Joseph. When they say Brother Joseph said, your people say Brother Joseph said, the reason they're saying Brother Joseph said, because they see no difference between Brother Joseph and Brother. And then the final stage, you need that, because the area you're talking with now is the hidden, it's the thing that is not written, but hidden in the word. Isn't that what he said that is? He said the seven thunders, it's not that it's not written, but it is hidden in the, to bring that out. So I'm going to tell you my thought of it. To prove it, you have to say, well, you know, I see Brother Tony's spirit. I see how God led him. I've seen him over the years. I know that it must be the same spirit that led him through these doctrines. I've kept him will be that. That's how you get it. So I'm going to tell you my thought. Okay. So you can sit. I'm going to tell you my thought on it. All right. I believe that God, from the time of creation, from the bringing forth of creation, the angels bringing forth, like Brother Norma would say, God splitting an alpha atom, an atom, that from that one atom all elements comes. Then from that, everything is created. Everything is new heavens and a new earth created. Genesis 1:1. I believe that Satan got into the first civilization, corrupted it, caused all the dinosaurs and everything to become violent, man-eaters. Then God destroyed it. Then it comes over to Genesis 1:1. Now, I believe from that point on, from Genesis, when God created man in his own image, I believe from that point on, from the fall of man, that the Son of God became a silent. In other words, God only created through Christ, but God never used him again except for a witness. He is the witness of the Father's word. Even before Satan came about, he was there with the Father. So it was not Jesus, the Son, talking to Abraham. It was not Jesus talking to any of them. He just became silent after creation. He saw the fall. All of these things happened. And only when was the fullness of time, he was ready now, by whom he created it, he was ready to redeem it by again. But from the time of Adam all the way through, the Son was not involved. Until the fullness of time, when he decided whom he made it through, he was going to redeem it by. That's my thought. He was not active. Yeah. Roy Davis, oneness, yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, he never corrected his Godhead. Yeah. I agree. You could see it fully in the word. You can see it in the doctrines here. Okay, I've gone through that, brother. Ministers have asked me over and over trying to get out of this baptism. Let me show you the simple fact. There is dispensational lines, okay? And for you who know the message, this will be, we know according to the teaching of the Holy Ghost series that the Holy Ghost had not been on the earth for 2,000 years. Holy Ghost himself. Right? Now, let's look at that. So, somewhere around AD 67, when Paul dies, the pillar of fire goes up and incarnates the Son on the throne. AD 96, John is taken up in the Spirit. He sees one on the throne, incarnate God. The incarnate God remains on the throne until 1909. The first time he ever appears is over the cradle of the prophet. Right? The first time he appears is at the cradle of the prophet. And then this is called the first family appearing, 1909. Then 1917, here is his first personal appearing in the tree. Remember when he spoke, did a drink, smoke, defile your body in any way, right? Then from there, we know that 1933 is the first public appearing, pillar of fire. Then we moved to 1950, first scientific appearing. Prophet said there's no excuse, science have. 1963, first universal appearing. And in 1965, who is this Melchizedek? God appearing fully in flesh. So we find that this concept. Now, I did that for a reason. What was your question again? Oh, yeah, dying. I got it. Why God? Okay, so now, what I want to show you. Now, this is what I want to show you here. 1906, the Laodicean age starts. Revelation 3:14, the age starts. The messenger is not there yet, but the age starts. He comes at the end of the age. So 1906, the Laodicean age starts. The Laodicean age is under the fourth seal. So that means the fourth seal extends all the way down to 1906. Everybody has to agree with that. Right? That's just simple. Laodicea is under the fourth seal. Alright, now watch what I want to show you. Laodicea runs all the way to 1963. Seals are open there. Opening of the word. It is only here the prophet says, come out of her, my people. The last words in the first seal was, come out of her. Is it this way or the other way? This way? Right? So what I want to tell you is this. In the age of Pentecost, Brother Branham quotes the book of Joel again, or the book of Acts, where he said, the Spirit falls upon all flesh. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost was being given to oneness, Trinitarian, Methodist, Baptist, all of them. Because the first meeting that Brother Branham went to in Mishikawa, they were genuine people born, they were oneness and they were born again. And Brother Branham said, Brother Neville was a Methodist, which is a Trinitarian, and he was born again. So between the ages of 1906 and 1963, it did not matter how they were baptized, because the Spirit was falling on the oneness and the Trinitarian. But what Brother Branham was doing when he came on the scene from 1946, he was trying to reform, he was trying to get them back to the true baptism. But anyway, even though he was preaching it up to that point, he never called them out. They were in an age when the Spirit was falling on anyone who would believe. And that is the problem. Even Brother Branham himself being quickened in the Pentecostal age. So Trinity and oneness in that age. You see what I'm saying, brother? It was fell on a... So listen, Baptist Lee Vale, Holy Ghost. Methodist Neville, Holy Ghost. Brother Chisholm, oneness, Holy Ghost. Right? And the meetings he went to in Mishikawa, Holy Ghost. One of them, Brother Ram said, I shook his hand, he was a genuine Christian, Holy Ghost, and he was a oneness. Because back here, that's true. But when you come out now under the opening of the word, your baptism have to go with the theme of your age, your Godhead. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you saying that those who were baptized by Peter had
the... Yeah, because Peter knew that he was the Son of God. Yeah, he knew. Because I can prove it to you. Let's prove it to you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thou art the Christ. Yeah. They were Jewish, so if he introduced Messiah, they knew that Messiah was Isaiah 9 and 6. And Messiah to a Jew was someone who is self-existent, so they knew that. That's why they killed him. He said God was his father.
Yeah, but by the same token, when Christ came as Son of Man, he spoke to them, the Jews crucified himself, using man to make yourself not Son of God, but God.
Oh, no. In your Jewish form, equal with God is meaning having the same nature. And man never had the same nature, even Moses. So in any time, equal with God is the same like saying the Father and Son, your name is as good as his name in a book. You see, we're Western. You've got to think Eastern. Right? An Eastern, a son is no different from his father when he comes to such a qualification. But what you're talking about is nature. Jews have no problem because as far as they're concerned, Messiah is one who is self-existent. Right? It's the fallen Jews that came away from that has problem. Because they got corrupted.
The last question is the rapture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Say that again. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. The same problem exists. I'm going to ask you one question. It's going to kill the whole thing. Yeah, go ahead. Of course, there's a certain order. Okay, all right. Okay, so we know one thing. We know that, of course, I say we know, because I am saying I know, right? But it doesn't mean we know, but I'm saying we know. We know that the seventh seal is rapture. Can we say that? We also know that the seventh seal is in two parts. The appearing and the coming.
Yeah.
We also know this is not known. He hadn't revealed that. That's still a secret. That's not been known. Right? This is not known. But we know this is known. Alright? So part of the seventh seal is the appearing of the Lord,
yes,
or the revealing of the Son of Man.
Okay. Yes.
Now we know that the Son of Man, according to Luke 21:27, the Son of Man comes in power, cloud, and great glory. But the way that it's written, the chronology of it, is not the way that it's written, because a chronology of Scripture is determined the way a prophet interprets it, not in the order it's written in the Bible, like 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that God will present you holy, sanctify you holy, both body, spirit, soul, spirit. Well, we know that's not the right order. The prophet said body, spirit, then soul. So, he comes in cloud, power, and glory. Right? Son of Man coming in these stages, like short voice and trump. But the truth of it is that first Son of Man always comes in power in two signs. He always comes in two signs first. Then the cloud, which represents the doctrine, comes in 63. Now, so this seventh seal of the appearing starts in 1946. Because all seals open in part. Right? All seals open in part. The messenger catching the mystery in part goes forth. And then he declares it, and then believer is sealed, and then temporary judgment. Right? So what part? So there's a part of the seals that was not sealed. And there's part that was sealed. And the part that was not sealed is called the seven church age letters. That's why the letters are connected to the seals, the church ages, because they are the part of the mystery that was not sealed. So the seven church age letter says two things. It starts 1946. And it starts 1946 in power with two signs. That's Son of Man. But the Son of Man ministry was only at the end of the service. During the service, it was the seventh angel, 3:14, preaching. That's why his doctrines could be corrected. You see? But the two signs were always perfect. So the anointing when he's preaching is a church age anointing. But at the end of the service, he has to be anointed with God himself. So he says, you know who I'm waiting for. Because it's not the same. So you have two things operating here. You have the angel of the church. And at the end of the service, you have the Son. An angel standing in the Son, declaring two things. Church age messenger. And Son of Man at the end of the service. Right? So seven seal starts 1946 in power. Fourth seal starts 1906. Laodicean change. Right? And so now there's two signs now. Is the Son of Man in power. 63 is the Son of Man in cloud. Right? And 65, of course, no. Now, I'm telling you the truth now. I did this because there was a reason for your question. The appearing and coming. The coming. Okay. So now, this is my thoughts, right? So the seventh seal is rapture. But to take the rapture, you need shout. And shout is the voice of the Son of Man. And that can't come without the two signs. This two signs starts in 1946 and 1963. Right? And then 63 comes the... Oh, sorry, brother. My ear is kind of... He that have an ear. Okay. Revelation 3:14 starts 1946, but also Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What's the knocking? The two signs. To do what? Draw your attention. And the two signs attract your attention. If any man hear my voice, 63, voice comes. Right? Then the invitation for communion. So my view is that rapture is a process. Can I finish it? Watch the process. The shout happens from 63, what is it, 63, the shout is happening. And then we now, by preaching it, we are bringing the people to a rapturing condition. Faith condition, right? Now, what is going to happen while we, now this is me now. Okay, I know this is not received well. I did this in Newcastle. Right? When this shout happens, it is to the living. That is God in prophet. And then that gathers the bride. That's the living bride. But the prophet is dead. And when he dies, he goes beyond the grave. And there is, he doesn't stop preaching like Jesus, because Brother Bam in the rapture message says, watch the short voice and trump back there. Yes. Right? So you have now the prophet going beyond the grave. There's only one ministry that can go beyond the grave, the Son of Man. Just like Jesus. He goes beyond the grave. Now, beyond the grave now, everyone is separated. Seven church ages. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Each one are separated because they're gathered to their people. That is why when Brother Branham was taken up in the vision, he only saw his people. He said, where's Paul's people? He's not here. So he is the only ministry. He represents the head. He is the only ministry that can unite beyond the grave. He is the uniting sign and time for them. They were looking for him. Now, if I had the quotes, I'll give it to you. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. We'll get this. So here now you find he goes beyond the grave just like Jesus did. But when Jesus went beyond the grave, even though they were all gathered to the people, by the time he got there, in the atonement message, Brother Branham said, you see, who's that? He said, hey, Abraham, I'm the one that came from under the tree. Yes. Remember who he's representing. He's representing God, the ministry of God. He said, Daniel, I am the mountain, the stone covering the mountain with all. So Abraham, Daniel, Ezekiel, a wheel within the wheel, were not gathered to their own people anymore. They were gathered unto him. Amen. So Daniel's revelation, even though Daniel heard the thunders, amen, in type, was no greater than Abraham, or Abraham no greater than Daniel. They all was united under one faith. Amen. So Luther was a Trinitarian. Is that right? Pentecostal bride, part of them are oneness. When they rise up, would they rise up Trinitarian or oneness? No. How are they going to rise? Under the same faith you have, they will have, because there's a uniting sign and time there. And there's a uniting sign and time here. And as we come to the unity of the faith, they also come into the unity of the faith. Now this is what happens. So then, between 6 and 9 one Sunday, them beyond the grave is going to rise. From the minute they rise, a 40-day count starts. They are all gathered under the altar. They are different altars. We're not talking about the martyr's altar.
Sixth.
Yeah, they are theophanic wool. Theophanic wool. Jesus went there. Brother Bam said there are theophany. He went and preached. Is Brother Branham son of man?
Yes.
Is Jesus son of man?
No.
Did Jesus have a shout?
Yes.
Did Brother Branham have Brother Branham had a shout?
Yes.
You see, they will have a shout. They will have the ministry cannot change.
Yes.
And Brother Branham said that he said the reflection of an elephant on the wall doesn't reflect as a thin man. You know, it's the same reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Bema Bar. They're not judged for anything that is wrong. They already made it. That's the Bema Bar. The Bema Bar takes care of the supper. After you meet in the air, then you go to Bema Bar.
Yes.
That's where you are given your seats according to your service. Not because you're a prophet or anything. The Bema Bar is the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah. That is what it was called. If you study it, you study Revelation, what is 9? 1 Corinthians 9. That's the Bema Bar for the champions. Crowns, the crown of righteousness, the crown of eternal life. The different crowns are given there based on your service. Right, he's a little bit higher. Yeah. Once again, literal things will kill us. The glorified body does not go to the theophanic world. The theophanic world is for the theophanic world. And when Brother Branham, to empty out, there's some things here that you would like. You see, when Jesus went there, he went in a theophanic body, united them under the same faith, under the one head. When he rose, they rose after him. When he emptied out paradise, nobody can go back there because there's nothing to empty him out again. But you cannot have a glorified body going to the theophanic world to empty them out. That's why it was necessary for Brother Branham to die. In the wings of a snow white dove, you hear the prophet make statements like, I have come to a faith I have never known before. If he had continued to live, his body would have changed while he yet walked. But he could not be the Enoch type, because he had to be the keystone to make the voice ministry. So Brother Branham had to die, had to go beyond the grave, because that is how the same type of Jesus, dying, uniting the signs, coming up, then the resurrection follows him, and 40 days, the dead, the saints are going to appear on the earth. And Brother Branham said, when you see them begin to appear on the earth,
yes.
He said, they will only appear to believers. He said, that's the sign the rapture is on. Now, this is where your question comes in. You see the process, right? So, people think the rapture is instantaneous. It is not.
No.
Right? It is not instantaneous. It is a complete translation of the mind before the body. Yeah, or one fold of the trumpet. One fold. You see, Brother Branham says, you see the living, as they begin to appear in a glorified body, he said they will appear to believers. And Brother Branham says that what will happen is that first the living saints and the dead saints are going to meet, because he says he wants you to know who made it. Right? He said he wants you to see who made it. And that way then we will go up and then we meet the Lord in the air. That's the incarnate God. We meet the incarnate God in the air. Because in page 156 of the seal book, the prophet says, the one who we see in our heart, feel in our heart, that in our midst and feel in our heart, when he becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord. No. The process. Yeah.
It's on the shelf.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, on shelf. You have to follow it through. Okay. Okay. Brothers, I appreciate you coming to hear my point. Not all of it is going to be right, but the concept, maybe some concepts that we can agree on. Just remember this. As long as the heart of it is there is one God who has a son, we can disagree on anything else because that's the most important part of it. Amen? God bless you. God keep you. God make you strong soldiers for his kingdom's sake. Thank you.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you.
Unfortunately, with ESCOM, the problems that we have, we might just have a blackout just now. That is why we have to close. If for some reason you want to go back to the meetings, we've put it on sundaystreams.com /go/spokenword. So you can go back. It's streaming at the moment. We want to thank each one of you for being here. I know Godhead is quite a subject. We're doing it presently for 8 years in our church, and you can't finish it. When somebody walked in one day to our church from another province, he was in between the meeting and he ran off thinking that we have two gods. Okay, then I had a brother phoning me from Pretoria. He says, "I heard you preaching two gods." He says, "No," because it's such a vast subject. You can walk in anywhere, and you can misunderstand it. We're taking 8 years. Our dear brother Tony can't do it in 4 hours. It's impossible. But brother, on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, the subject is going to unfold again. But the reason why he's done this more on a ministerial level. So on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be more on a congregational level, on a lowered level. But if you have any questions that you want to bring to Brother Tony, send an email to my address. It's info@spokenword.co.za. info@spokenword.co.za. We'll see how you can fit it in on Friday, Saturday or Sunday. That is where we are streaming. Sundaystreams.com. Spoken Word. Okay, you can pick it up on your cell phones, your smartphones, and so forth. You can even download it, and you can go back and study it. So even our morning service is there, which is we did the apostolic order, and even the meetings this whole week, that's on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, will be there as well. And maybe people can't come here because of transport or whatever. Invite them to that link because we've had people from Dubai this morning. We had people from Cape Town, Johannesburg. We had people from United States, Cape Town, all of them streaming in to come and listen to the gospel. We appreciate you for your support. We trust the Lord will bless you and undertake for you in a special way. Our dear Brother Mark, would you close in prayer? Amen.
Lord, you have given us an ability to understand these deep secrets that we're hidden from before the foundation of the world. And as the brother said, why hasn't it come to the big shots of the relationship? Yet we are such a small bunch of people, Lord. There are millions.